using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's Friday, the 30th of July, year of our Lord, 2021, day 503 of America Held Hostage. Today we're going to look at the many carrots and sticks that Joe Biden has offered yesterday. And we're going to look at full-on revolt in the House against Nancy Pelosi's mask orders. It's too bad that didn't happen 503 days ago. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Let's begin with masks, because as I pointed out yesterday, these new mask orders are making everyone furious. From the people who have been pushing this propaganda in the mainstream media, they're saying, wait a minute, don't the vaccines work? And we heard this a while back, which is why they took the masks off, but they don't really know what to do. You had Leanna Wynn saying, well, you can't take the mask off because we've got to have that stick. We need the stick to threaten these people who haven't gotten vaccinated. So keep the mask on. You've got to incentivize them and keep beating them until they do. And yet the other people were starting to say, but wait a minute, you're making me wear a mask? Even though I've been vaccinated, and now we're, so they took it off, now they're putting it back on. This is simply political. It's not science, 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 as Nancy Pelosi said yesterday. Wait till I play that clip for you. No, it's not that at all. But what this has done is this has created a backlash with people who are even supporters of this. They're not happy with it. Even the ones who are obeying it are not happy with it. Many of the people who have gotten vaccinated said, we're not going to do this. They're starting to rebel. And it has really put a fire under the people who were not happy with this to start with. You've even got people like Greg Abbott saying, we're not going to do that again. Greg Abbott, who bought into all of this stuff, real heavy, had us on mask mandates for 8 months. And now he knows that it is going to be political suicide, because if people would have pushed back against this, it's not because science has changed. It's not because Greg Abbott has changed. It's because people have changed. We can drive this if we push back against this. That's the lesson. That's the takeaway. And right now they're very vulnerable because they've been caught going back and forth in one lie after the other. And let's take a look at this. They're still pushing, nevertheless. You still have Democrats in various areas, like a county school board in Florida, the Broward County. Wait a minute. Isn't that the place where they had the shooting, where they had a cop who was, you know, they have cops guarding the schools, and he runs away? Yeah, that was the Broward County. And so now that school board has decided that they're going to require students and staff and visitors to wear masks inside the schools. It'll be just as effective for safety as that cop was. And it points out what I've been saying, that the local people, local officials, right, these people that you elected for school board, these people that you elected for sheriff, they have a bigger influence on your life, even though it's harder to find information about them, because I can't cover every one of these jurisdictions. But see, that's the key. They can't control every one of these jurisdictions. Politics is local. And if you know who these people are, they can make things a lot worse, or they can make things a lot better than the state or the federal government can. State and federal government only has the capability to make your life miserable if the people cooperate with them at the local level. And even when a governor is trying to do the right thing on this particular issue, and again, I don't support DeSantis because of the things that he'll do, good things with free speech, but then he will support censorship on behalf of a foreign government, Israel. He will do things in terms of saying, we're not going to have mandated vaccines, even by businesses. That's good. That was not just him. That was the legislature. But then he will champion the vaccine for people. Oh, take it, take it, take it. So, you know, take what you can from DeSantis. But understand that regardless of what the governor does, you can have people at the local level that will either make it better or make it worse, as they're making it worse here in this Broward County School Board. DeSantis said the legislature could hold a special session to issue, to provide protection for parents and kids who just want to breathe freely. And then this article from The Hill says 50% of people in Florida are fully vaccinated. Where'd they get that information? From Johns Hopkins. Isn't that interesting how Johns Hopkins is at the center of everything? You know, you got people who are concerned because the CDC says we want to keep our own database. Let me tell you, they've been demanding that they get data on everybody since last August. I couldn't believe it when I saw that article. It's like, where have you people been? Last August, they sent out trial forms, and they didn't modify them. They sent them to everybody in October, but in August, they sent it out to three states and one city. And I discussed that at length on my program last August. And they wanted to have every bit of information about you. And, of course, it was required because they wanted to make sure that you got the second shot on time and that it was the same brand of shot. They didn't want to mix and match the shots. That was very, very important. We have to get information on everybody because we don't want to mix and match the shots. Now they're doing that and say, no problem, we'll just do it as an experiment. I mean, that's one of the things that should be all these people who tell you, when you have friends and families or employers who tell you, oh, this has all been tested, say, no, it's not. Just take a look at the fact that they're going to mix and match vaccines. They haven't done zero studies on that. They haven't even pretended to do a study. The emergency use authorization was based on a two-month study. Long-term safety, right? No, no, no. 2-3 years was not long enough, said a lot of doctors at the World Health Organization. A couple of years before they did this. Oh, so we'll just cut the 2 to 3 years, which is already insufficient. We'll cut it down to 2 or 3 months. Everything will be fine. They didn't even bother to test the mixing and matching of vaccines. But it's always Johns Hopkins. They were there from the very beginning. Dark winter. See, what has happened is the other shoe has dropped. The other shoe of the false flag takeover of our country. The first shoe was 9/11. And right as they dropped that shoe, they started tying the other one in knots so they could throw it at us this last year. And they simulated that for 20 years. And Johns Hopkins was there from the very first one, and they were involved in every one of these simulations, and now they're collecting the information, presumably getting it from the CDC. And oh, by the way, the thing I pointed out when I went through the detailed questionnaire, and they sent this out to all the different states, and they said, put this at every public health office and have them send this out to all the different places that we're going to be paying to inject people. And we want this stuff reported to us within 24 hours. And one of the things that they wanted reported was when you refused to do it. If you went to a doctor, you refused to get the vaccine, they wanted that reported as well. So now Johns Hopkins has that because they work hand in glove with the CDC, with the military-industrial complex, with the intelligence community all the time and have been deeply embedded with him publicly. You know, of course, that relationship began before they began their Dark Winter. It goes back way before that, but that's where you can clearly see it happening. So the L.A. Times headline says it all. Here's the L.A. Times pushing the masks, pushing the vaccines, pushing the Democrats. Masks on, masks off, masks on again at the White House. Oh, it's the Delta threat, they say. Yeah, again. They don't have a reliable test for COVID. They admit that. They're going to get rid of the test that they've been using for the last year and a half, but they're going to wait another 5 months before they do that. They don't have a reliable test for COVID. So now they're telling us that they have one for the Delta variant. A little more than 2 months ago, says LA Times, a beaming President Biden went to the Rose Garden to announce that unvaccinated Americans no longer needed to wear masks indoors. And then, of course, as they change it again, Kamala Harris got a head start the day before. How did she know this? virtue signaling, wearing a mask during a meeting with Native American leaders. And so as they come out and explain this, trying to help you to understand this, the LA Times, big supporters of Democrat science. That's what we should call it. We should call it Democrat science. Fake science. It's a journey. It's a frustrating one that requires backtracking at times. See, just masks are a visible sign that the country is not experiencing that summer of joy that Biden predicted last month, nor is it celebrating its independence from a deadly virus. That was another one of his phrases. Yeah, exactly. What we need is we need a summer of joy, and we need to celebrate our independence by shutting these people down instead of letting them continually shut us down. Vaccines remain effective at preventing serious illness. If you survive, you may get better 30% faster. Does it? You know, that's what we were told about remdesivir, right? Anything to sell it. You know, Fauci changed the standard for a therapeutic. A therapeutic is supposed to heal the condition or cure it or whatever. A vaccine is supposed to prevent it. So they just change the definitions depending on what product they're selling and depending on its capabilities. So now, even though it doesn't keep you from spreading it, even though it doesn't keep you from getting it, you're supposedly not going to get 30% sicker with it, right? Just like remdesivir, the very expensive drug that attacks your liver, but doesn't cure anything. Well, I think that the people that did survive somehow got better a little bit faster, 30% faster. I mean, that's negligible. How do you determine that anyway? That's obviously BS. But that was pronounced the standard of care so that his friends could make billions of dollars, and they did. Here is the history, a quick history of mask off, mask on, mask off, mask on from RT. Going back to November 2004, 20 years ago nearly, they pointed out the CDC said, no recommendation can be made at this time for masks to be used in the community by asymptomatic persons, including those at high risk for complications, to prevent exposure to influenza. They were not recommended by health staff at the time. They were definitely not recommended by the CDC. That's the quote I just read you. April to 2009. Okay, so that was 2004. That was a standard understanding. I've read to you the study out of Australia that they did in 2002, which is, you know, nearly much closer to 20 years ago, 19 years ago. And they were saying, even if you wear one of these N95 masks, after 20 minutes, it becomes so saturated with moisture, spit particles, that it's going to just pass even that through, let alone the aerosols that are too small. A viral aerosol is too small to be stopped by N95 masks. N95 masks are good if you're going to be cleaning up the debris from a building that was just collapsed into its footprint in New York. But, of course, Rudy couldn't be bothered to have people wear those there. It's good for construction work, but, of course, OSHA said do not wear these things. They're going to mandate them in some very dusty environments, but you can't wear them for more than 20 minutes because you need to have some oxygen. It's going to deprive you of oxygen as well and increase your CO2 load. This is when it was science. This is when they really were concerned about your health and safety. They're not anymore. This is an agenda. Have you seen anybody mandating that you get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin? No. Have you seen them offering it for free, even though it's very cheap? I would say especially because it's very cheap. No. What do? They punish people who prescribe that because it works. They stockpile it and take it off of the market because it works. They cancel people who talk about it because it works. But no, we will do everything in the world, and we're going to talk about all the carrots and sticks that Biden unveiled yesterday coming up here. But first, let's finish with a mask. So 2002, Australia says they absolutely don't work. At best case, they're totally useless after 20 minutes. The CDC did not recommend it in 2004. April 2009, what was happening then? H1N1, the swine flu. CDC said at that time, information on the effectiveness of face masks and respirators for the control of influenza in community settings is extremely limited. They said, relying on masks for protection in crowded areas is ill-advised. Then things changed 11 years later. A little bit, but not for a few months. At the beginning, they were still going with what they had known for decades. It took a while for the fear and panic to be pushed by the propaganda press. And so at the very beginning, February the 5th, 2020, Fauci said the typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective for keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. Did he not know about spit particles? Because, you know, I would say the same thing. Not because Fauci said it, but because it's patently obvious. I said the same thing, and it was, you don't know anything. You're an idiot. Science says it's all about the, it's to trap those moisture particles. Fauci not know that in February 5th of 2020? Evidently not. Then, 3 weeks later, February the 28th, CDC jumped in as well. So first it was Mr. Science, and then it was the CDC. CDC does not currently recommend the use of face masks to help prevent novel coronavirus. The next day, February the 29th, Americans began to panic buy masks. And then you had the U.S. Surgeon General, Jerome Adams. This is a Pence guy. This is a Mike Pence guy from Indiana that he brought in. And he said, seriously, people, stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing a general public from catching a coronavirus. Now, when everybody else switched, he switched too, right? When it became politically correct to lie to people about the science, Jerome Adams, the Mike Pence guy, lied to you as well. Go to March 8th, and you have Fauci saying in a 60 Minutes interview, there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. You've seen this many times before, right? We're in the middle of an outbreak. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even stop a droplet here or there. But it's not providing the basic protection, right, that people need to think, that need to have. Then March 29th, he doubled down on his previous remarks, said the Surgeon General, Adams. He said, we've consistently recommended against the general public wearing masks. There is scant or conflicting evidence that they benefit individual wearers. March 31st, NBC made fun of Donald Trump for suggesting that you wear a mask. In an article debunking Trump's suggestion that Americans could wear scarves to shield their faces, NBC laughed. And it was a laughable idea. It was a ridiculous idea. And it didn't come from Trump. These people were pushing this out there. But they said there is no scientific evidence that these kinds of face coverings would have any impact on flattening the curve. And let me just say, yeah, even before President Trump made that idiotic remark about, wait, maybe you could wear a scarf. Even before that, at InfoWars, you had Mike Adams, furious through this whole time I'm reading you these quotes, furious with Fauci, furious with the CDC for not telling people to wear masks. Now, this is the phase of InfoWars where we're all going to die because it's coming from China, right? And he continued to harp on Fauci and the rest of them, and he continued well into the summer, up until about the time that Greg Abbott mandated the mask. You still had Mike Adams saying, wear the mask or you're going to have to get the vaccine. If you don't want to get the vaccine and we don't want to get the vaccine, you better wear the mask. You better wear the mask now. Yeah. It's not just Fauci and the CDC. InfoWars, wasn't it, too? April the 2nd, the CDC's FAQ page. CDC does not recommend that people who are well wear a face mask to protect themselves from respiratory illness. April the 3rd, CDC then advises Americans to voluntarily don cloth face masks, which NBC was laughing at Trump for saying a couple of days earlier. It heard the conversations that they were doing out there. You don't seem to have symptoms. It still gets transferred, said President Trump at the time. See, he's explained it to us that these scarves, you're going to need to wear the scarves. And you need to wear the scarves even if you don't have any symptoms because it's still going to transfer. So the scarves will stop it. Yeah. And that's when the war began. The mask wars began. Of course, it was continued on until June, July, that we did not have a mask here. But, you know, Mike Adams is continually harping on it and others at InfoWars. April the 4th, CDC updated with new data that nobody had ever discovered before for decades. Many, many decades. Always in medical history. Should we even wear a mask in an operating room scenario? Well, you know, you might have some spit particles if you don't have a mask that fall into the open wound here. So, yeah, maybe we'll do that. But it wasn't even mandated or universally done by in operating rooms to wear masks in Australia. That's what they were talking about. That's why they did it. They said, you know, we did this because there's a lot of doctors who don't wear the mask in the operating room. And they don't really need to. Then, from May and on, it began to be the mask wars. And you had Governor Karen Abbott in July doing that. And I still wonder whatever happened to the $300 million contract that he put out in March as soon as Trump released money. He took a big chunk of it, $300 million, because, you know, the governors had the discretion to hand this money off to whoever they wanted to. So he handed off to one guy with a fake resume in a small office up in Frisco, Texas. I don't know whatever happened to that. I was concerned about the fact that they really would do contact tracing. Maybe they did. I think it was just kind of some graft and corruption payoff to somebody. You had people in both parties questioning that. So did we get our money back? Or are they really spying on us in yet another area? So you had all the wars in the grocery stores and everywhere else. Then February of this year, February the 10th, after about a year of this nonsense, back and forth, the CDC publishes a study saying that now you need two face masks. Double masking can reduce an individual's exposure to coronavirus. So to keep the analogy, you know, if you have a chain link fence and it can't keep out the mosquitoes, you put two chain link fences up. Because, you know, maybe if you shift them a little bit, no, the hole is still going to be too big. And it's not even that. The better analogy is the one that the guy in the UK gave, part of the SAGE group, Scientific Advisory Group, of, I guess, I don't know what the E stands for. Is it experts? Do they underscore that there? Or SAGE experts. But he said it's like shooting BBs at a scaffolding. Yeah, one may hit the scaffolding every once in a while, but and that's really the better analogy. March 8th this year. We had the fully vaccinated Americans now don't need to wear masks when meeting indoors with close friends. And that was about the time, the beginning of March, that Abbott lifted the mask mandate after 8 months. April the 27th, CDC says fully vaccinated people can forego masks at small outdoor events. And then July the 9th, fully vaccinated teachers and students don't need to wear masks inside school buildings, says the CDC. Then July the 21st, Fauci tells CNBC, the broad overall CDC recommendation is that if you are vaccinated, you're protected. And you don't need to wear a mask indoors or outdoors. But that didn't last for long. In a week, the Delta virus came. The Delta strain suddenly, mysteriously appeared. And now things start to ratchet down again. Which brings us to where we are right now with Biden defending when he previously said the vaccinated don't need to have masks, and he says, well, that was true at the time. If it's real, it doesn't change like that, okay? But the key thing is that, you know, science, the understanding of science could change with debate. But this is not happening with debate. This is not even happening with data being shown. Because that's what people are saying. Well, we like even the corporate mainstream press is saying, we're not being shown the data that the CDC is basing this on. Why are you hiding the data? Well, I'll tell you why they're hiding the data. The same reasons that they hid the data for the climate change fear porn. Because it contradicts what they're doing. Because what they're doing is not based on data. It's not based on science. It's just a dictation. They're just telling you what to do, which is what they want to do. And they, like I've said many times, I got involved in a lawsuit. The organization that I was in was trying to sue Michael Mann, the guy who imagined and invented the hockey stick nonsense that Al Gore made the central point of his Inconvenient Truth. He didn't want to show us the data. We knew they were rigging the data because we'd had ClimateGate 1 and ClimateGate 2. First one was 1,000 emails where they're going back and forth saying, we've got to figure out how we're going to spend this. This data doesn't support what we're doing, or it contradicts what we're doing. And then there was another big group of emails that came later on, 5,000 of them. A lot of them were coming out of the UK, East Anglia. But also involved at the very center of this is Michael Mann, who was being paid by the University of Virginia. He was doing all this at the University of Virginia. He had published the information at the University of Virginia, and they had used it to craft public policy, and yet we were not allowed to see it. We're not allowed to see this. We're not allowed to see the data that tells us that we've got to have masks again. And if you start talking about the, it's just under 50 studies that said that they don't work at all. Then there was like another 32 that said, and actually it harms your health. If you want to look at those, you know, 75 or so studies that are out there, and you start passing that around, oh, you're misinformation. You're fake news. You're fake science. Yeah, don't look at 75 studies, and we're not going to show you the data. That makes perfectly good sense, right? We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News, you'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
All right, and if you go to APSradio.com, you can see the news button that's up in the upper right-hand corner. Also, the program is live in audio format at aftermath.fm. And I was on with Clyde Lewis, who has put that together Wednesday night. And very late program. I guess it's one of the reasons why I was kind of giddy yesterday. I had very little sleep. Anyway, the Aftermath FM was set up by Clyde Lewis to make sure that he had some control over information could not and that would not be taken down based on what he had to say. So you got a lot of people who are starting to look at archiving their own stuff on their own computer. So he set up a big network of archived documents and radio programs and things like that. There's an app, and you can pay to get to that archive library that he's put together over the years. Or you can also, if you have the app, you can listen live for free. And, of course, on Trovo and DLive, we are live with video. They don't archive things at DLive for more than just a couple of days. I don't know how long Trovo keeps it. But if you want to see the archives, you can go to thedavidknightshow.com. And there you will see the links to where we have our full shows archived, as well as the cuts that we take out of it each day. If you go to BitChute, you'll notice that we've got the show posted up about five or six times, the full show yesterday, because we kept having trouble uploading it. We have to, now that we're back to 3 hours again, it could handle 2 hours. But now that we're up to 3 hours, we've got to break the show up. So I'm sorry if that's inconvenient for people, but that's what we do. But we still had trouble with it loading yesterday. But eventually it came up, and then we wound up with about five versions of the show, I think. So I think we had the full show there. Then we had like hour one and hour two and the little bit that we went beyond it had like hour one and then hour two and three and the little bit that we went beyond the third hour. Anyway, all of that is there. You'll also see it on Twitter, broadcast live. And, of course, my Twitter handle is Libertarian. Libertarian. Different from the Libertarian Party. I'm about liberty. They took a pass on this whole thing last year. And it's interesting because there's some guy who's a comedian. He's got a podcast. He's talking about how he might run in 2024. So Reason interviewed him because he didn't agree with him on the vaccines. He didn't agree with him on lockdowns. And he said, we missed a golden opportunity last year to stand for liberty when we took a pass on this lockdown stuff. It's like, no doubt you did. Yeah, Jo Jorgensen didn't do anything. Instead, she didn't do anything about the lockdown. Instead, she started cheering the BLM riots. And it's like, are you kidding me? This is what the Libertarian Party has become? And by the way, if you go back to The David Knight Show, you'll also see the podcast there and how you can support us. And we do thank you for your kind and generous support this last month. All of that is at thedavidknightshow.com. Let's take a look at Pelosi's gag order that she put on everybody in Congress. As Ted Cruz put it, she is drunk on power with her abusive mask mandates. She's got a lot of problems, quite frankly. Lauren Boebert is attacked by the Daily Beast. The way they spin it is, well, she threw a mask at a staffer. And she said, well, they were trying to hand it to me, and I just threw it back at him. But she also pointed out, Lauren Boebert did, she said right after that, the staffer, when they were having a voice vote, shouts out. Now, she made the comment, she said, just like the Democrats, always trying to vote where they're ineligible, right? I mean, if you're standing there on the floor, oh, I'm here on the floor to hand out masks, that means that I can vote like a congressional representative. Just shout it out on a voice vote. She had a lot of beefs with that particular staffer, and rightfully so. And then you had Chip Roy. Said it's an embarrassment, a mockery, and the American people are fed up. Here's what Chip Roy from Texas had to say.
I mean, it's absolutely absurd what this body is doing, the People's House. It's an embarrassment. It's a mockery. And the American people are fed up. They want to go back to life. They want to go back to business. They want to go back to school without their children being forced to wear masks, to be put in the corner, to have mental health issues. And we're running around here, and the speaker comes down here at 10 o'clock in the morning saying, we got to wear masks in the People's House, while we've got thousands of people pouring across our border, and Democrats don't do a darn thing about it, heavily infected with COVID. We have the New York Times, okay, today. What a mess. CDC about to reverse on indoor masking for the vaccinated, quote unquote. This is some serious nanny state stuff that will only breed resentment. No kidding. Consider resentment being magnified right here on the floor of the House of Representatives. We are absolutely sick and tired of it, and so are the American people. This sham of an institution is doing nothing for the American people. Nothing for the betterment of the people that send their representatives here. Well, which is it, vaccines or masks? Do the vaccines work or they don't work? Do the masks work or they don't work? I'd like to know which it is. I'd like Dr. Fauci to come down and answer a single question about natural immunity. Have you been infected with a virus? Do you have immunity? Or are they just going to go around poking people saying you must take a vaccine? Oh, but sorry, the vaccine doesn't work. You must wear a mask. This institution is a sham.
And so is the CDC, and so is the NIH, and so is Fauci. They're all a sham, and so is Pelosi. As they're pointing out, you know, Pelosi dictated to everybody that they have to wear masks. That's not happening in the Senate. As the Daily Beast points out, they want to attack Republicans. They say it's Republicans who are pulling a stunt. This is Pelosi who is pulling a stunt. But they say, well, you know, Chip Roy, after he gave that speech, he forced a vote on adjourning the House. They called it the procedural equivalent of pulling the fire alarm at a high school, a stunt that was later replicated by Representative Jody Heiss, Republican of Georgia, gumming up the workings of the House for the moment. Are you kidding me? Gumming up the works? This inquisition on January the 6th, that doesn't gum up the works of the House? Everything they've done has gummed up the works of the House. Everything they've done has been against the Constitution, by the way, even more importantly. It isn't whether they can get something done. What's a something? You're going to throw something on the fire. Well, we don't know if it's water or gasoline, but, you know, let's do something. Let's get something done in the House. No. The stunt is being done by Pelosi. Dan Crenshaw said he vowed to oppose any bipartisan piece of legislation, even as long as this childish mask mandate stands. Byron Donalds, Republican Florida, a freshman Republican, who previously said on cable news that he had declined the vaccine due to past COVID infection, walked to the floor unmasked. Imagine that. And you had a Democrat call him out on it, Jared Huffman, a Democrat from California, refused to get into an elevator with Brian Donalds. And a moment later, outside the House floor, Huffman yelled at Donalds that he was selfish. Donalds shot back to Huffman, "Mind your business." Yeah, no, you should say to these people who tell you that you're selfish, you say, "You are selfish. We have informed consent. And by the way, if you're a congressman, you should be supporting individual choice." This guy, probably from California, considers himself to be pro-choice because he wants to kill babies. Dean Phillips, a Democrat from Minnesota, said, "If more Americans would get vaccinated and listen to science instead of conspiracy theories, including certain members of Congress, we could save lives." Well, you know, the congressman that they were just attacking said, "I had COVID. I got over it." Right? That's called natural immunity. And the bottom line is the vaccine doesn't do anything to kill a virus. As a matter of fact, the vaccine gives you the most dangerous components of the virus, which is the protein spike. It makes your body produce those. It's not attenuated. See, a vaccine has always been a dead or weakened version. What they did was they took the most toxic part of this and had your body manufacture it. The whole idea of a vaccine is to train your immune system so that when it encounters the real thing, it can shut it down. This congressional representative had already encountered the real thing. His immune system had already shut it down, which means that his immune system is trained. And you don't have to do anything more about that. That's the way it works. By the way, that is called science. We've known that for a long time. You get immunity by overcoming a disease, and it is a lifetime immunity. Capitol Police ordered to arrest staff and visitors, of course, visitors who come into the sacred area, as they call it now, the U.S. Capitol, sacred. Well, you know, they crossed the Rubicon a long time ago, and now Pelosi's got her Praetorian Guard out there threatening visitors and staff with arrest if they don't wear the mask. Now, they're not threatening the members of Congress. Why? Because that's in the Constitution. It's the one thing in the Constitution you can bet they're going to pay attention to. And that they don't want to start a precedent where members of Congress could get arrested. You cannot arrest somebody who is on their way to serve in the House of Representatives as a congressman. That doesn't mean that you can't arrest somebody who's committing a crime outside. But if they're on their way to attend Congress, you can't arrest them. Practical reason for that is they're on their way to go vote. And if you allowed various people to arrest them, then you could rig the vote, right? So that's not allowed. So instead, what Pelosi wants to have happen is to have the Capitol Police snitch on them to the sergeant-at-arms, say this person was not wearing a mask, and then fine these members of Congress $500. $500. You know, what these people need to start doing, I said this a long time ago before all this lockdown began. I said, do you remember ancient Rome? You had Cato, who wanted to get rid of Carthage. He saw that they were a threat to Rome. And he would end every speech that he gave in the Roman Senate. He would say, furthermore, Carthage must be destroyed. And I said, you need to start adding that if you really want to get something done. You need to start adding that to everything that you say when you get up. You know, just be persistent when you speak and say, furthermore, judicial supremacy must be destroyed. Well, now we've moved on. And now we have medical tyranny, which is the front issue right now that is in your face, literally in your face, with face masks. So these guys, I think every one of these Republican congressmen ought to end every one of their speeches. Furthermore, medical tyranny must be destroyed. And people know what medical tyranny is. You know, Fauci is the face of it. Walensky, to a lesser degree, but the CDC, NIH, people will figure out it's really those institutions when you get down to it. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said, if you're a Capitol Police officer, you got orders. If a vaccinated staffer comes across the House side without a mask, you're ordered to arrest them, but not on the Senate side. This is not the America we know. Steve Scalise claimed the police enforcement came directly from Pelosi. The Speaker's office denied it. Scalise tweeted out, he said, to be clear, Pelosi is directing police to arrest, all uppercase, to arrest vaccinated people who aren't wearing masks. This isn't about science. It's about power and control. There was a two-page guidance that came out on Wednesday. It was issued by the new police chief who took over on Friday to lead the Capitol Police Force. One of the first things he does is to threaten to arrest staffers and visitors if they're not wearing the mask. This is exactly, I'm sure, what Pelosi wanted. Some authoritarian jerk like this to make everything worse. Again, you know, it's where the rubber meets the road. Are you going to have somebody enforce these absurd regulations? Oh, yeah, we got just the guy to take over the Capitol Police Friday, the next, you know, 2 days later, he puts this in. But, of course, it was just his idea, Pelosi says. She had nothing to do with it. Now, there was no discussion about this. It was not written on her letterhead. He did it, right? Plausible deniability. Police are advised not to arrest members of Congress since the Constitution says that they cannot, that they're privileged from arrests as they're on their way to Congress. And again, they have responded, many of them, very defiantly. Thomas Massie, I always like what Thomas Massie says and what he does. He seems to be pretty consistent. He says, you might as well come into my office and arrest my entire staff. He said, we are not wearing masks. The physician and the chief of police don't have this authority. Because you had the, before the Capitol Police Chief issued this, you had the Capitol physician, Brian Moynihan, as I reported yesterday. He held a meeting with people there on Capitol Hill. He was not wearing a mask, but telling everybody that they would have to start wearing a mask the next day. You get the idea. Face masks would once again be required. Even Moynihan himself was seen flouting his own guidance, and Kevin McCarthy claimed to have seen Speaker Nancy Pelosi forgoing her mask while in a crowded room. Marjorie Taylor Greene called the move hysterical, unprecedented abuse of power. Lee Zeldin, a Republican from New York, accused Pelosi of being massively drunk on power, obsessed with control, hypocritical, partisan beyond belief. Texas Representative Beth Van Duney, a Republican, said she'd bail out any staffers arrested for violating the mask rule, while Byron Donalds told Pelosi, come see me if you have an issue with any of my staffers going maskless. This is really good. I'm glad they're doing this. And oh, by the way, as I said last fall, I would not support or vote for Donald Trump because he gave us a lockdown election, and we knew that it was going to be rigged because of the different rules. You know, mailing everything in and so forth. I said, he's setting this thing up to turn power over to the Democrats. But I said, the good news is that even though the Democrats are going to step on the gas and go faster and harder, the Republicans will push back. Voila. Right? All of these Republicans, from these people now, they're really mad. Rand Paul, who never attacked Fauci last year, never attacked Trump last year, they wouldn't say anything about this. Why? Because Trump was in charge. And they understood that criticism of Fauci, who was technically under Trump, was really going to be directed at Trump. So they were not going to say anything to oppose any of this. But now they are. And I'm glad that they are. But the real issue is that the American people are fed up with this. We've seen the fraud of all of this stuff. And so now for partisan reasons, they will say something, when for partisan reasons, last year, they were silent. Better late than never. I mean, we even have the young guy who's got, what is it, Talking Points USA or something like that. Turning Point USA. Kirk, he's out there organizing people to push back against the vaccine. Good. I'm glad he's doing it. It's only about 503 days late because his idol Donald Trump was doing it. He wouldn't say anything about it. But I'm glad he's finally on board with that. Better late than never. Homeland Security announced mandatory indoor masking for all 240,000 of its employees on Wednesday. Apple will require masks in most of its U.S. stores as of yesterday. Facebook and Google have gone further. They will require employees returning to the office to be vaccinated. We'll be talking about the sticks that are being thrown at you, that they're beating you with, and the sticks that they want to put in your arm. We'll be talking about that and what Biden exactly had to say. But I'll just say this to these Facebook and Google employees who have been involved in helping these evil corporations shut down information and push a crafted monolithic narrative down everybody's throat for the last year and a half. You join with evil people like, oh, well, look, you know, we're on their team, right? We're on their team. We're the guys who are telling everybody what to do. And then eventually, you minions at Facebook and Google, you wind up getting mandated to take the vaccine. And then, of course, they'll also make you wear the mask along with the vaccine. You're going to get both of those. You're going to get exactly what you deserve. You're going to get what you supported, and you're going to get it good and hard. So some of the House Republicans went to the Senate. They had a photo op yesterday afternoon in the Capitol Rotunda, and then they went into the Senate chamber where they heard Mike Lee. Here's some of his remarks as he denounced this as both unconstitutional and unscientific.
Staff under this type of oppressive directive aren't treated as hardworking, dedicated Americans, which truly they are. Instead, everyone who doesn't comply is deemed the enemy of the current House of Representatives. There's no room for disagreement or dissent. It is tragic indeed to see a key deliberative body where dissent and debate are supposed to be tolerated and appreciated and decided and have been not just for decades but for centuries. To see that turned into a place where disagreement and dissent are disdained and punished by arrest. Congress works on collegiality and respect. We need to get back to those basics. Regardless of what you might think about the coronavirus, about the vaccine, about masks, there's never a good reason to arrest someone for not wearing a mask.
Yeah, and I'm jotting down the comments here as he's talking about this. 3 points. Hardworking and dedicated staff. No respect for them whatsoever. That's what I've witnessed here in Texas, because even though these mask mandates were dropped like a hammer on people by Abbott last July, I believe it was, and they were kept on for 8 months, even after he said, all right, you can't mandate it, but if you want to do it, yeah, you can still do it. And you had employers still doing this to their hardworking, dedicated staffs, whether it is in a restaurant or it's a drive-through, fast food, whatever situation. They continue to do that, to rub their noses in it, literally, to grind their faces into the ground. It makes me so angry. It's, I just need to move so I can start fresh again. I am so sick of every place that I have been, every business that I used to do business with, I do not want to do business with again. And the hardworking, dedicated employees that they have just hammered with this ridiculous nonsense. So, yeah, it's not just, by the way, you elitist snobs in the Republican Party. This has been happening to everybody for the last 503 days. And you're just now noticing because it's now in your lap. This is like Trump completely ignoring what's going on with shadow banning, completely ignoring what's going on with deplatforming until they kick him off. And then, oh, now it's a big deal, right? And again, I agree with a person who wrote yesterday. I think he wanted that. I think the Republicans wanted that. So they could pretend that, you know, hey, Trump is really on our side. You know, he's really playing 4D chess, and he really doesn't support these vaccines or the way they're being done. No, he's pushing it. He would love to be a part of these PSA, these public service announcements, where you have all the presidents, all the former presidents, talking about how you ought to get the shot, all of them except him. Because they hate his guts. It isn't because he doesn't love the vaccine. He's so proud of it. He thinks it's his crowning achievement. But, you know, they kick him off, and they kick him off of social media. So you had Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and you had Larry Kudlow saying yesterday, I showed you the what they had to say. So if they really want to get this done, that's a big mistake, not to let him be in the PSAs, not to let him be on Twitter, because he'd be the biggest cheerleader for his vaccines. They're the Trump shots. They're big. They're beautiful. You should get them. There's a video we've got. I condensed it into about a 10-minute segment. So I'm not going to go into that again. Nevertheless, you got a hardworking, dedicated staff. They're being targeted by these people, just like the rest of us have been for the last year. There's also, as he said, no room for dissent. Oh, really? No room for dissent. Well, that has been the case for quite some time. That has been the case for this entire 503 days. There's no room for dissent. They will decide when they want to change the science, and they will do it arbitrarily and unilaterally, and there will be no debate, no examination of data, no criticism of their hypothesis, none of that. So we're not going to have any debate or dissent in quote-unquote science. And guess what? Eventually, you don't have any debate or dissent in politics either, or in anything else in society. And that was the final point I jotted down, the fact that he says, well, you know, Congress only works when it's congenial and when there's respect. Well, they haven't respected our informed consent, have they? And they still don't. And I don't see any of these Republicans. I hear crickets when Biden starts mandating masks and vaccines for federal employees. I mean, what? The staffers are federal employees, and all the rest of these hundreds of thousands of federal employees working at Homeland Security, these other places, every one of them, as a matter of fact, except for the post office, interesting exception. But all of the federal employees are having this stuff strapped on their face, jabbed into their arms. And the Republicans aren't saying anything about that. What about respecting their informed consent? Because they don't respect anybody's informed consent. It's just politics. It's just them posturing with all this stuff. And so you have the little back and forth between McCarthy and Pelosi, so that you hope that there's somebody on the Republican side that's going to stand up for your liberty. You know, this is the professional wrestling aspect of it. But it is still interesting to see what Nancy Pelosi has to say. She had earlier in the day called Kevin McCarthy a moron for opposing new mask mandates for people that are vaccinated. And so a reporter asked her in the press conference if she would like to explain that. Here's what she had to say.
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
I said earlier in my comments, science, 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 and science. On almost every subject that you can name, science is the answer, whether it's the climate crisis, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's our preeminence in the world in technology, science, 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 science. To say that wearing a mask is not based on science, I think, is not wise, and that was my comment.
Okay, she's not talking about science, as we pointed out. You know, this is not about data. This is not about debate. It's not about skepticism. She's talking about a religion, science, 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 and every issue, everywhere, and everything. No, that's scientism. Scientism. It's not the scientific method. This is an argument from authority. Scholasticism, not empiricism. Everywhere. Science, science, science. And this is the kind of blind use of this. And that's all these people say. They just say, because, you know, science. You cannot get any argument out of them. And, yeah, science right there. That's what it is. End of story. End of story. We'll be right back with the headline news, and then we're going to talk about what's going on with the mandated shots. There's both carrots and sticks involved in what Biden had to say yesterday, so stay with us. We'll be right back. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere. From country to blues, classic hits to news, APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
What they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.
All right, so we had Joe Biden yesterday go to the Mack truck facility, and he informed everybody that he used to once drive an 18-wheeler. I think that what we're witnessing here is something that is part of dementia, where you imagine that you have done something that you never did, and you're absolutely convinced of it, right? I think probably he saw Smokey and the Bandit at some point in time. He mixed up couple of his predecessors as well. When he was talking to them, he got a little bit confused, talking about three reasons that he ran for president, but he can only name one of them. So it's kind of like Rick Perry, except even worse. Remember when Rick Perry was running for president one time, and I forget which time it was, because he's run several times for president. And he said, I want to get rid of three departments. And he mentioned two of them, and he couldn't remember the third one. It was the Department of Energy that he thought was totally useless and should not be a part of the federal government. And, of course, it was simply pragmatics. It wasn't that there was no constitutional authority for a Department of Energy to exist. No. Rick Perry would never go there. But then, interestingly enough, he was brought into the Trump administration to run the department that he was going to get rid of. And he'd forgotten that he's going to get rid of it as well, again. So he keeps forgetting about that Department of Energy, and he forgot that he's going to get rid of it for the entire time that he ran it. So he had Biden had one of those moments as well. But then when he's there at the Mack truck place, he says, I used to drive an 18-wheeler, man. I said, oh, yeah, really? As Fox News reported, there is scant evidence that Biden has ever driven an 18-wheeler truck. A White House spokesman noted that the 48-year-old newspaper article that said that Biden had hitched a 536-mile ride to Ohio in a big rig. There you go, eastbound. So maybe that was what he was remembering. I doubt they gave him the wheel, though. Again, it could just be that he saw Smokey and the Bandit once, and he's having a flashback. Who knows what's going on? And that's why when I saw the news that Biden was going to have a foot procedure, I didn't know it was about Jill. I thought it was about Joe. I thought he was going to have his foot surgically removed from his mouth, but of course, that's not going to happen. It is firmly implanted in his mouth. We have in California, Gavin Newsom has banned the sale of a gaming PC. It's a high-end gaming PC from Dell. It's their new Alienware Aurora R12 and R10 gaming PC configurations. And they're not the only state that is banning it. It's also being banned in California, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. So what's the deal with this? Is it spreading COVID or something? Oh, even worse, it's using too much energy, according to them. As they point out in Red State, Americans know that California is fond of banning all types of pleasure and progress, so it may come as no surprise that the state has adopted new regulations that have ended up effectively banning the top-of-the-line gaming PC from Dell. The reason? The new technology uses too much energy. So, can't be sold in the fifth largest economy in the world, home to the heart of the tech industry, because it uses too much power. And so I saw that and I thought, you know, how does that compare to the amount of juice that's used by one of the electric vehicles, one of the EVs that these people love so much, that they will subsidize you to buy, that they will build charging stations everywhere. They're going to spend trillions of dollars putting charging stations all over the country. I said, how does the power correspond to that? Because I started looking at, well, how much power does this thing use, this PC? Well, in its biggest configuration, and with the biggest power supply that you can get, it's a 1 kilowatt, 1,000 watts, 1 kilowatt. And I thought, well, that's not all that much. I mean, you know, it can be kind of heavy, but some people are saying, well, that's a lot because that's as much as an air conditioner. Some air conditioners are a kilowatt. And so this is like adding an air conditioner. So what are you telling me, that we're not going to have air conditioners? That's right. That's what they're telling you. You know, for sustainable things, you're not going to have air conditioners, right? But I thought, well, how does this compare, as I said, to an EV? And by the way, let's compare it not just to any ordinary EV, but since this is the top-of-the-line computer, let's compare it to a top-of-the-line EV. Let's not just look at your ordinary Tesla. Let's look at a Tesla Plaid. So what does a Tesla Plaid have? Well, the Tesla Plaid has two 250-kilowatt motors. Now, again, this power supply for this computer that uses too much power has a 1 kilowatt power supply. Now, I know that is continuous as it's doing it. So, you know, what is, you know, but with this other, with a Tesla, and it's storing up the energy, but it's got to get that energy to store it up to start with, right? It could possibly use that much if you're going to accelerate it. And of course, why are you going to get a Plaid Tesla top of the line if you're not going to use that power, right? At some point in time, you're going to step on it. It's a real temptation. I know. Not that I've driven those, but when you have power there, you want to use it. Why else would you buy, a Hellcat if you're not going to step on the gas? Or why would you buy a Tesla if you're not going to step on the accelerator? So you could have 500 kilowatts on demand that's going to burn. And we're going to ban, though, a computer that has 1 kilowatt. 500 kilowatt Tesla, that's good. We're going to subsidize that, but we're not even going to let you sell a 1 kilowatt computer because that could be like an air conditioning unit. And so then I just looked a little bit more on some of the Tesla sites because they give you all kinds of information about power consumption, continuous and so forth, on your readouts because, you know, you've got nothing to do. The car's driving itself, right? So you can just play with the pad in the center and see what kind of power consumption you got. And what they were saying was that it uses, on the highway, it uses about 280 watt-hours per mile. So that means that you're going to use about a kilowatt every 4 miles. You're going to be using that, which is what the PC, you know, it's going to use, it's a kilowatt, but we typically look at at electricity usage as a kilowatt hour, right? And it's not going to take you an hour to go 4 miles. So you're going to be using a lot more for every trip that you take with your electric vehicle. And I'm just pointing this out because all the people who think that the plan behind all of this isn't to completely strangle our transportation and energy uses are not looking at the big picture here. I've been saying for a long time that at the same time they're trying to strangle the power input into the grid by requiring that power generation be done with renewable energy sources and restricting it and shutting down existing reliable sources, not even cleaning them up to a higher standard. If it's a coal plant, it's got to go. If it's natural gas, it's got to go. You know, we're only going to have solar, we're only going to have wind and things like that. And so at the same time that they're shutting down capacity of power generation capacity into the grid, they're putting these power-hungry devices on the grid. And so they're creating a crisis, you know, putting more demand at the same time they're taking away supply of the power grid. And we've seen how fragile the power grid is already in Texas and California and other places. And they're only going to make that worse. But let me tell you, if they're freaking out now about a 1 kilowatt computer and banning that, they're not going to let you have that EV for very long either, because it uses way, 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 way more than that. Way more than that. So just understand where they're going to go. Just understand that as they're banning these gaming PCs, they're essentially straining at gnats and swallowing camels. They're straining at a game PC, and they're swallowing these power-hungry EVs. At the same time, they're strangling power generation capability into the grid. Take a look at how they're strangling us intellectually in the universities as well. This is an article from Hot Air. Diversity bloat. Many major universities have more diversity staff than they do history professors. Oh, that makes sense. If you get a lot of diversity staff, you can sell critical race theory in the 1619 Project, and you don't have to worry about the fact that we are repeating the very worst events in the history of mankind. Yeah, they're not exactly repeating it. You know, history doesn't exactly repeat. It rhymes very, very closely. And so as we throw out science, as we throw out due process, as we throw out debate and all these other things, as we throw out merit, as we denigrate math, as we don't want to have any scores for entrance into the universities, we don't want to have any grades to compete against people, we just want to hand out awards based on skin color and various other attributes that they put in an intersectional stacking rating, right? What is your cumulative box score on good and bad attributes that we don't like of people personally? Nothing to do with your merit. Nothing to do about equal opportunity. No, we're going to have equity based on how many intersectional boxes do you check? Male or female? You know, what's your skin color? On and on. Your gender identification. So the Heritage Foundation, to look at this, they looked at what they call the Power Five universities. In other words, universities that are part of a major athletic conference, such as the Pac-12. And so the reason they did that was they wanted to select schools that were more mainstream, not real elitist, because they knew if they went to the Ivy League schools or something like that, it was going to be way out of proportion. So they go to the regular schools, like University of Michigan or Syracuse or Georgia Tech. And so they started looking at how many people they had in their DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think it's kind of interesting because you start seeing DEI, DEI, all uppercase, throughout this. And I started looking at that and I thought, well, it kind of reminds me of Opus Dei, right? What does Opus Dei mean? It's Latin for work of God, right? And we won't get into the organization, but if you just look at the words, what we're talking about, the Dei, the DEI, is God, right? In that phrase. And so what they're doing is they're making diversity and equity and inclusion, that is God. That is their God that they worship, that they make an idol of in all these universities. So I thought that's quite appropriate that they would call it Dei. They said the average university has 45.1 people tasked with promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion, Dei. They're the gods, the little demigods that rule that organization. University of Michigan has, for example, 163 Dei. 19 of those people work in the central office of Dei, headed by the Vice Provost for Equity and Inclusion and Chief Diversity Officer. This is why one of the reasons why college is so expensive. It's so heavily bloated with useless administrative tasks, not teaching anybody anything, but hammering everybody and looking over their shoulder to see if they're pushing the appropriate buttons for their agenda. University of Virginia, Ohio State University also have large Dei infrastructures with 94 people. University of California, Berkeley, Virginia Tech follow with 86 and 83 Dei personnel. But then if you look at it in terms of not just absolute number, but the ratio to staff, guess what university had the most? And this is very frightening because you would think that at Georgia Tech, a well-known engineering university, as a matter of fact, I almost went to Georgia Tech for my master's degree, did not. I decided I'd had enough of school at the last minute. Georgia Tech, 3.2 people promoting Dei for every history professor. Hopefully they've got a few more engineering professors there. I don't know what, I would really like to know now what the ratio of, I don't know, just take general science, not engineering, because it's focused on engineering, but just take, I don't know, something that's science or math, and look at the ratio of Dei to that. But they were leading in terms of, when you look at the ratio, not in terms of the absolute number of Dei people, they led significantly, 3.2. Louisville University was 2.9, Syracuse 2.6, and on. When you get down to Pittsburgh, which is down 26 down, it's still 1.5. The ratio of these Dei staff to history people. And again, they don't want you to know history, do they? They want you to know diversity and equity and inclusiveness. They don't want you to know history. They want you to know the 1619 Project. They want you to know the CRT stuff, and they're going to demand that you abide by all of that and everything that you do, not just everything that you teach. They pointed out in this article, they said, well, the Heritage Foundation isn't recommending an end to the Dei staff or programs, but it's suggesting that it appears to be some bloat and imbalanced. All right. I would just say that here again is a place where I disagree with the Heritage Foundation. I am demanding an end to that. I am demanding an end to this anti-intellectual lying that is happening here. It's anti-intellectual, it's anti everything that this society is about. That's what these people are about. This diversity, equity, and inclusiveness. We got to get rid of equity. Equity, this whole idea of equity, equal results for everybody. It's nothing other than communism. That's all it is. You know, the old joke, the communist has nothing and he wants to share it with you. Equity. We're all equal. We're equally poor, except for the animals in Animal Farm that are more equal than others. There's always going to be those, right? There'll always be the Castros and the Chavezes and the Stalins at the top, feeding on everybody else. I liked this article from Simon Black, talking about how most so-called socialists don't know anything about socialism. Well, because they don't have any history teachers, and even if they did, the history teachers are probably Marxists themselves, right? They said back in the summer of 1849, Karl Marx was still an obscure writer, struggling to make an impact. He had published the Communist Manifesto, a short 23-page pamphlet. He was operating a fledgling newspaper in Germany at the time, but he kept getting in trouble with the German tax authorities for failing to pay his taxes. What a surprise! Because we know that Marxists love taxes, don't they? They just don't like to pay them. So that's why he was forced to leave Germany, which is technically Prussia, back in 1849. And then he had also been exposed prior to that. He'd been expelled, rather, not exposed. He'd been exposed to hypocrisy, expelled for not paying taxes from France and Belgium as well. So he ended up in Britain. It was the wealthiest country in the world at the time, and it had basically open borders, very few barriers to entry for immigrants, which is very rare at the time. Yet the fact that he benefited from the laissez-faire policies of this free market society did not change his views on capitalism. He still hated the system, and he blamed it for everything that went wrong, writes Simon Black. Marx and his family lived in abject poverty in their earliest years in London. He constantly had debt collectors knocking on his door. Landlords routinely evicted him from his home. Of course, people don't realize the real cause of his financial troubles was that he almost never had a job. You know, these backwards people back in this time, they didn't have anything like universal basic income or stimulus checks or unemployment checks that go on forever. They didn't have moratoriums on eviction. All these things that have been brought in by Trump, extended by Biden. Yeah, it was Trump who gave us communism. Trump wants to say, oh, we're going to, looks like we're beginning communism. Looks like we began it under you, you lying shill. Anyway, he said people don't realize the real cause of Marx's financial troubles. He never had a job. He thought it was degrading to work so that someone else could profit from your labor. So he refused to work on principle, of course, right? He subjected his family to live in filthy, squalid conditions, his children often without food. In fact, only three of his seven children survived to adulthood. Four of them died as children. Yet he still refused to work. He still whined about capitalism. Honestly, the entire Marxist philosophy, writes Simon Black, is completely hypocritical. Yet there are people today who call themselves Marxists, like the BLM co-founders, who are self-avowed Marxists, and they probably don't have the foggiest idea of whether patron saint literally watched his children go hungry. Because, you know, Patrice Cullors, who says she's a trained Marxist, she really embraces the luxury lifestyle, as does Bernie Sanders. I mean, you know, a lot of very expensive houses that they're able to have. So, you know, they don't have the same problem as Karl Marx, not in our society. They're living off of the system and gaming the system that they're seeking to destroy. That, I think, is a central lesson from Karl Marx's life that Simon Black doesn't get to. Anyway, he says, so what about the socialists, the self-identifying socialists today? 41% of Americans think that socialism is positive. Most of these people don't actually understand the first thing about it. When they say socialism, they mean Sweden. They mean free university and 6 weeks of paid vacation, but they have no idea what they're talking about. One key difference that people fail to understand is that while Marx despised capitalism, he never made it personal. He didn't shame individual people for their success. He didn't automatically assume that rich people were evil. The only reason Marx was lifted out of poverty, in fact, was because of a wealthy capitalist who gave him money. But activists, newspapers, now, today, these people who identify themselves as socialists, will actually illegally leak confidential tax information to name and shame wealthy people. Even Marx didn't stoop to that. But, of course, the people, the politicians, who used his failed economics to gaslight people into making them dictators, they did do that, and much worse. They did do that, and much worse. And that's where we are now. It's the politicians who use the economics and the lies and the justifications that Karl Marx put out there. They're the ones who are doing this type of stuff everywhere. Now take a look at what is happening in Nigeria. You know, a couple of days ago, I showed the picture of the lady who had escaped Nigeria, was a Christian, and she came to America, and she was working with a Christian organization. And the Christian organization, because they wanted to be good and obedient to the government and never question anything that they do, told her that she needed to get a vaccination for her job. It went wrong. I showed you the picture of her. As a matter of fact, we put up the video. That's a key picture on it. She has lost now both of her legs. In the picture, her hands are gnarled up, and she was about to have them cut off in an operation. She lost both hands, both legs, from the picture, it was about the knees down. So she escaped the persecution of Christians in Nigeria to have this done to her, as you see here on the screen now, have this done to her in America. by Christians who are following, blindly following, government guidelines, science. But what is happening behind, where was it, what was happening in the area that she fled? Islamic, and by the way, if you haven't seen that video, see that video. Her husband is furious about what's going on. He's got some very pointed questions of the people who say, well, there's, it's just one of these things that happens, you know, it's rare. I don't think it really had anything necessarily to do with our vaccine. It's just a coincidence, you know, the coincidence theorists out there. So watch that video. Pass that on. We've got to stop this. But in Nigeria, they have had, over the last 200 days, they've had 3,500 Nigerian Christians killed. They've had 300 churches, church buildings burned down. So that's about 17 people being killed a day. Christians killed a day, every day, 17 on average. And on average, three church buildings burn down every 2 days. I mean, I don't know how many churches they had in a predominantly Muslim country like Nigeria, but I would imagine there's not very many church buildings left. And that is almost up. That's just 3,462 Christians murdered by Islamic extremists in Nigeria. That's only 68 less than the entire number that were killed in 2020 alone, and we're only slightly more than halfway through the year. Hundreds of children from Nigerian schools also targeted and kidnapped. The organization is Boko Haram, going in and kidnapping predominantly girls who are getting an education. They don't want girls to have an education, so they kidnap them out of the schools and holding them for ransom. Speaking of being held for ransom, think about how NPR has held the public ransom for decades, putting out government propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, and lies. Now NPR came out yesterday with a new ethics policy. It's now okay for journalists to demonstrate sometimes. They said journalists may participate in activities that advocate for the freedom and dignity of human beings, and they can advocate both on social media and in real life. That means that they can go to Antifa marches and rallies and public events and, you know, BLM and so forth. The new policy eliminates the blanket prohibition from doing that, as well as giving some vague language that directed NPR journalists to avoid personally advocating on controversial or polarizing issues. You mean they never advocated for issues before on NPR? If you've ever watched NPR, it's nothing but an advocacy, a government advocacy group, everything about it. And it's publicly funded. You know, usually state funds. I don't know if it's still funded by the federal government. It's on and off, like the abortion funding. But you know, when I looked at this, it really made me think about Sam Montoya, a reporter for InfoWars. I don't know what Sam's current status is. I know that he was arrested back in April. I don't know if he got bail. I'm seeing a lot of these people are not getting bail. But, you know, Sam, just a reporter, he's a cameraman. Really, didn't do on-air reports. He's just a cameraman. And he was roaming around doing B-roll footage and separated from Alex and the crew that were there, you know, holding their rally, their own rally thing. When Alex saw that things were getting violent over the Capitol, he got everybody to run away about a mile and a half or so away to the Supreme Court building, stay away from it. Sam was roaming around doing B-roll footage, and I said when I saw it, even before I knew that Sam had been captured, I said, you know, I never supported any of these rallies. I oppose them in principle. I oppose what Trump was doing to the country, and as I've said earlier today, and I've said every time I talk about this, he let us twist in the wind. He financially incentivized, as Biden is doing now with the vaccine mandates. What's he doing? How's he imposing that? He's not going to do that with an executive order. He's handing out trillions of dollars to these governors and other people. He's handing out, and he's telling them, give financial incentives, $100 a person, to get these vaccines. That's how you get these policies done. That's the way the federal government always works. How do they get the boys in the girls' locker rooms and showers? They do it by saying, well, you know, we've given you all this money for sports and so forth, and we're going to take that back if you don't put boys in the girls' showers and you don't put them in the girls' dressing rooms and so forth in the name of the transgender mob. That's how they do all this stuff. They use the money, the unlimited amount of money that they have, as a carrot and a stick, and that's what Trump did. And so I didn't support Trump. I didn't support any of this stuff. I knew that the whole thing was a grifting operation. I opposed what the lies that they were telling people 2 days after the election. You had Pachinik out there telling people these absurd lies. And so I was never part of any of these rallies. They never invited me to go. They knew that I wouldn't. I would have refused. It was kind of a silent understanding there. But I had said at the time when that happened, I said, if I had been there as a reporter, I would have done the same thing that Sam did. As a reporter, if I saw something like that happening, I would go to it instead of running away from it. I would go there to report on it. He's the only one who did any honest reporting that day for InfoWars. And he wound up in jail because he's taking video of what's happening, and he goes inside the place. And it just breaks my heart to see that happening to somebody, get thrown to the wolves like that because he's actually doing real reporting. And, you know, they got upset about the fact that Sam's like, yeah, this is great. You know, let a couple of cheers or something as he's doing it. This is super. I love to see people getting involved in this. There's no evidence that he did anything violent. There's no evidence that he used violence to get in or that he'd even seen any violence happening. He's there as a reporter reporting this, and they've got him in jail. That's the thing that really bothers me, just as it bothers me to see the conditions that Joe Biggs is being held under. All these people need to have a speedy trial. They need to not have excessive punishment. They need to not have punishment pre-trial, which is what is happening now. But getting back to NPR, they are now going to say it's okay to do that. Now, they'll put Sam in jail for doing that, but NPR will say, no, you reporters, you can go to BLM rallies, and you can go to Antifa rallies. You can cheer the people as they're doing mostly peaceful protests but burning down you know, neighborhoods at the same time. You go there, you can cheer that. That's fine. NPR allows its reporters to join BLM and LGBT activists as long as the cause is, quote, freedom and dignity. Where have they been? Does NPR not realize that for the last 503 days we have been beyond freedom and dignity? We've been living in a B.F. Skinner world? All of this that has happened to us, it's not just communism. This is behavioral psychology to deny us freedom and dignity. In every respect, there's absolutely no science behind any of this, except for behavioral. There's no science for the masks. This is about taking away your freedom and dignity. That's all it is. And so they're going to say, well, you can go to a BLM or an LGBT activist organization as long as it opposes, as long as it's in support of freedom and dignity. No, everything that they have done. I mean, if you want to support freedom and dignity, then these NPR reporters should have been opposing lockdowns and mandatory masks and mandatory vaccines, but they don't do that. They're not about freedom and dignity. They're not about choice either. They like to say that they're pro-choice. Look at, for instance, look at how they use language. This is another NPR story, because these are the things that happened yesterday in terms of, yeah, we're going to support freedom and dignity, which means that we're going to let our employees openly advocate, not pretend that they're trying to be neutral, but we're going to let them openly advocate for these issues. I've said for the longest time that it's always been my opinion, when I never even had any intention of ever getting into news or journalism at all, it was always my feeling that the only honest journalists were the ones who were writing op-ed pieces. What they were doing was telling you, giving you a perspective, reporting on something that's happening, analyzing it, and acknowledging what they thought about it. And giving you an argument. So, you know, when I was in college, I would get the extremes that people had, because typically people who would write op-ed pieces, they would be extremely left or extremely right or whatever. So I'd look at The Nation, I would look at National Review, And I would compare the arguments. And I, it's what made me more conservative libertarian in my outlook, because I would see the left didn't have, the authoritarian left didn't have a leg to stand on in terms of their arguments. And it wasn't just those two. I mean, there's a lot of them. I had nothing but contempt for the garbage middle, which was Time and Newsweek. It was lowbrow, low information, and they got everything wrong. Like those magazine covers that I show all the time where they said, we're going to be out in the middle of the oil crisis. That's it. There's never going to be any more oil discovered. We're going to be out of oil in 6 years. I'm going to be out of natural gas in 8 years. Both of them jumped in on that. And I said at the time, I said, these people say that they're objective, but they're not. They simply are not being honest with you about their bias. They're not being honest maybe with themselves about their bias. Maybe they think that they're being completely objective. But even the stories that you choose to report reflect your bias. Take a look at Drudge, for example. All right? Drudge is not writing any articles. Drudge is just putting articles up that he thinks are interesting or that reflect his point of view. And look at how that has changed radically. Everybody said, well, he went from being a conservative to a hardcore lefty. And that's true. But he does not write the articles. He just picks them. So the editor can, based on what he will allow to be published, he very carefully selects, who gets to be seen, whose work is published. I lived that at InfoWars. You don't agree with him, you get shoved to the back. And then you get shoved out the door eventually if you don't leave. That's the way this all works. Now, they also manipulate you by the words that they use. Going back to October 2018, NPR Style Guide tells journalists babies are not babies until they're born. That's a quote from them. That is a headline from Christian Post. But that quote, babies are not babies until they're born, that's a quote from the NPR editorial staff. A supervising editor at NPR advised staff that it is incorrect to use the word baby to refer to a child in the womb. And it warned against terms like partial birth abortion or referring to the unborn. So they manipulate, they consciously manipulate, even by the words that they use. It's not just the stories that they choose to talk about, but even the terms. And that's the taking the high ground in a debate, in most cases, is depending on which terms you use. Mark Memmott, supervising senior editor for Standards and Practices at NPR, publicly funded, by the way, recently posted a guidance reminder relating to abortion procedures, terminology, and rights. And AP, Associated Press, does this all the time. If you want to be employed by NPR, you will follow the guidelines that this NPR editor writes out there. If you want to have your story put out, you will follow these guidelines. And if you want to have the AP pick up your story and put it out, you will follow their guidelines, and they do the same thing with terminology, with abortion. But listen to the details of this. The guidance comes in the wake of a number of states passing what pro-life activists call heartbeat bills that restrict abortion once a heartbeat can be detected. Quote, proponents refer to it as a fetal heartbeat law. That is their term. And it needs to be attributed to them if used. And it needs to be put in quotation marks if printed. Quote, fetal heartbeat, quote unquote. We should not simply say the laws are about when fetal heartbeat is detected. No, you say they have fetal heartbeat laws, quote unquote. As we've reported, heartbeat activity can be detected about 6 weeks into pregnancy. That's at least a few weeks before an embryo becomes a fetus. That's a baby. And you should stop, even the people who are advocates of this should stop calling it a fetal heartbeat law. Fetal is a fetus is just Latin for baby. It's not a different organism. That kind of nonsense went out a long time ago. Going back to, I talked earlier about Karl Marx, one of the people who lived about the same time as him, pushing evolutionary theory, was Ernst Haeckel. And he came up with the whole idea, which was propagated even after it was thoroughly debunked and disproven by images. They continued to sell the idea that ontology recapitulates phylogeny, if I got that correct. I think I did. Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it? A lot of words that you don't know what means. And it was Carl Sagan who used to say that all the time. all the time. Every time he'd go on Johnny Carson constantly, and he would say, you know, ontology recapitulates phylogeny. By that, what he meant was, when you're aborting a baby in the early stages, you're just killing a fish or some lower life form or something. It's not a human being, right? And that was all based on drawings that were done by Ernst Haeckel. That just came out of his imagination. These drawings were no more related to anything that was real than Biden's imagining that he was driving an 18-wheeler. It was later debunked when people got imaging software and they could see what the babies looked like inside the mother. It was totally debunked. And yet, even after it was debunked, they continued to push that idea in school textbooks, and you still had people like Carl Sagan pushing that idea, even though it had been shown to be wrong by observation. Because what that did was it allowed them to push both evolution and abortion at the same time. These are not human beings. It's some lower life form, and they're going through an evolving period. They're evolving into a human over a period of time, but we're killing them when they're not human. No, a fetus is simply a baby, and that is a lie. So he goes on to say the term unborn implies that there's a baby inside a pregnant woman and not a fetus. Babies are not babies until they're born. They're fetuses. Mehmet argued that calling a fetus a baby or the unborn is a, quote, strategy used by anti-abortion groups to shift language legally and in public opinion. Except that's what he's doing, you see? And they do that all the time. They use language. They use terms that they cherry-pick, that they carefully select in order to shape the legal debate and public opinion. Here's an example. He goes on to say, he says, well, they're using language to shape the... So we got to use language to shape the debate in the opposite direction. Use unborn only when referring to the title of the bill. Or qualify the use of, quote, unborn by saying, what abortion group, anti-abortion groups call the unborn victims of violence? The most neutral language to refer to the death of a fetus during a crime is fetal homicide. This reminds me, you know, we had, we're homeschooling the kids and we'd go around and these book fairs. Somebody asked me, you know, how do we get curriculum for kids? And there used to be homeschooling conferences and they would have book fairs would be part of that. There'd be used book people as well as new book people. You could try all the different curriculum. And again, if you didn't catch that, I'll just mention that again. In general, there's a lot of different styles. I mean, you can have a very, very heavy classical curriculum where you're teaching at the early memorization stage of grammar. You can teach them Greek and Latin roots, or you can get more involved in it, and you can actually try to teach them the languages of Greek and Latin. That gives them a good foundation in a lot of different professions. Gives them a good vocabulary. And there's a lot of other things you can do. That's a classical, so there's classical conversations you'll see. You probably have one in the area where you are. If you get online and you go to Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they can get you in touch with people that can help you find groups that are homeschooling, support groups. Some people do it, you know, they'll have, they'll do some online classes. Maybe they'll have some support groups where they get together once a week or twice a week. And parents will share teaching on different subjects, lets them kind of specialize and get a little bit further ahead of the kids. You only need to stay a step ahead of the kids. And lets them get a little bit ahead of the curve, or maybe you've got somebody who was in a field where they had math and they're comfortable teaching that, so maybe they'll take the math stuff. So there's a lot of different ways that you can go about it. Again, I would just suggest that you find the homeschooling organization in your state, and you can find them through the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Become a member, support that, because they will help to defend you if you get into any issues, any legal issues. But the reason I bring it up again is because at one of these conventions, we were looking at used books, and I saw a big, I mean, it was literally this high, and, you know, massive book, tiny print. It was a 1950s Webster dictionary, unabridged, and it had more than 650,000 words in it. And so I bought that. I thought, oh, that would be good. You know, we'll get a big dictionary, totally unabridged. And had to be careful what you set it on because it could break some things. And at one point in time, I thought, you know, when did they start talking about the term gay as homosexual? So, of course, that was not in the definition. You know, gay meant happy. in the 1950s. And so I looked to see, you know, homosexual, what they said at the time, how that had evolved. Because, and I did that as I started all this homosexual marriage debate thing. The term homosexual is not in the dictionary in the 1950s. That's how rapidly things changed. The term was sodomy. That was the only term they had. And so you went from a pejorative term, sodomy, to a neutral term, to a positive term, and all of that happened in about 10, 15 years. That's how they operate. That's how they control the argument, just by the terms that they use. You call somebody a sodomist or homosexual, or you can call them gay, depending on your perspective. And that has a lot of weight. All of those terms carry something with them. So when they talk about babies or fetuses, or they talk about murder, you know, they're very careful about what they do. They said when they were talking about abortion, again, you know, call it fetal homicide. No, just call it murder for hire. That's what it really is. And it's murder. These people, now it's gotten very granular in terms of our own government, NIH and the FDA, sending out specific orders for what baby organs they want at a particular stage of development and spending $18,000 to get these organs fresh, not frozen, from Planned Parenthood. That's murder for hire. So when you look at this, NPR also is talking about, and going back to April, still looking at what happened on January the 6th, NPR said, you know, during this horrible event that we had, there were many who said that they were led by their Christian beliefs, even as members of the Capitol Police warned that they were violating a sacred space. And so NPR is looking at this and saying, so, you know, where is religion today in America, right? Is the Capitol building a sacred place? Do you ever see them referring to church buildings that are being burned as sacred places? And again, I don't think a church building is a sacred place. I think, you know, a church is a group of people. You know, they're living stones being built up into a structure. And so I view, you know, a church building as just being something that is utilitarian and not sacred. But they have a religion. This is their religion. That the state capital, the federal capital, is a sacred space. You hear that all the time. Sacred space, sacred. They got in here. They defiled this, right? And so they said, is there some kind of a civil religion that we have in America? And this is a headline from NPR back in April. Can America's civil religion unite the country? They said the widespread display of Christian symbols on January the 6th is, in fact, has triggered a general backlash against religious nationalism in the country. They said we've had people like Martin Luther King Jr., who spoke from a Christian tradition. In his speeches, he frequently used references to Scripture. And he's not speaking specifically to Christians, even back in the 1960s. He's using, says NPR, these terms as more basic moral instruction. My concern is that in trying to get rid of the Christian nationalist versions, the other things that might have some social benefit might get swept out as well. So hopefully we can have morality without God, is what they're saying with NPR, right? We have a kind of a secular humanism, a kind of civil religion without having God. And so we need to support that because we don't want to completely throw out the religion that gave us those morals. We don't want to throw out the religion that was the foundation of this country. And, you know, I hear people all the time saying, well, you know, these. Every time I say this, I'll get some commenter who will say, well, you know, those founders of the country, they were deists and they were Masons and all this other kind of stuff. And I said, well, you know, I hear that a lot about Benjamin Franklin, for example, and yet as I read what he had to say to Congress as they were putting together the Constitution, I did that on Thanksgiving. I said, listen to what he had to say. He said, we used to open up all of our Constitutional Congress meetings with a prayer. And he said, you would have to be blind to not understand that God in his providence gave us victory. I'm paraphrasing what he had to say. Gave us victory over the most powerful nation on earth. You'd have to be blind not to see that. And so why would we be meeting here to try to set the legal foundation for our country without having prayer and asking for guidance and help in that. Now, they didn't vote to do that. They voted him down. But there was an acknowledgement and an understanding of Christianity, a Christian God. It was what was the foundation. And it doesn't really matter, and we'll never know, what the personal religious beliefs were of these people. Were they saved, you know, trusting in Christ? Are they, you know, eternally damned? We don't know. That's not for us. There's no way that we could know. We couldn't judge that anyway. But what they were doing was they were responding to a nation that was Christian. And they would talk that way. Even, as they point out, Martin Luther King Jr. would do that as well. You can see it in Abraham Lincoln, whose widow bragged that he never set foot in a church his entire life. And yet, look at how religious his speech was. He would talk about a house divided cannot stand. He didn't use things like the man behind the curtain, right? That's what we do. Today, you know, we don't have, if you want to speak to people, what I do in clips is I show things that came from the movies that are widely watched so that you know, people understand the metaphor there in a context. But if you wanted a metaphor in the time of Abraham Lincoln, you would speak to what the people understood, and that was the Bible. You would say the man behind the curtain, that's because everybody's seen and is familiar with The Wizard of Oz. But in his day, everybody was familiar with the Bible, and so that's how he communicated with them, even if he didn't believe it himself, even if he never set foot in a church. That was what Alexis de Tocqueville saw when he came to America. He said, you know, people are taking care of everything, unlike France, where everything is centralized, he said, the socialist France. He said, they don't wait for the government to fix their problems. They come together at the community level, and they fix their problems, and they do it because it flows out of their Christian religion. And so NPR wants you to believe that a civil religion that is morality without God, morality without reason, responsibility without grace, they want you to believe that that can work. We've had philosophers and artists as diverse in time and orientation as Bob Dylan and John Calvin. Bob Dylan says you're going to serve somebody, right? John Calvin says the heart is an idol factory. Not I-D-L-E, but I-D-O-L. We're constantly looking for something to worship. We're constantly looking for something to serve. We all understand that if we understand human nature. That doesn't flow from any particular religion or denomination even. I mean, it's universally understood. And they understand that. And so what they want you to do is they want you to treat government as God. They want you to see government as sacred. They want you to see the Capitol building as some kind of a temple. They said America doesn't have a common ancestry or an official faith. It does have distinct identity, and it does have a quasi-religious foundation. No, it was a religious foundation. It was the foundation of the country, whether it was the religion, it's irrelevant. Again, I say it's irrelevant, even though it's not clear. You know, you can make arguments for and against different aspects of it. But regardless of what Jefferson believed or Franklin believed or Washington believed, the people, and there were some very strong, solid, I think, Orthodox Christians among the group. They said, young people are taught to regard the country's founders as almost saints. See, that's what I would oppose. I would not teach young people to do that. I would never do that. I would oppose that idea, as a matter of fact. I would show them with their flaws. All people have flaws. That's one of the reasons why, although I understand, and it bothers me to see all these statues to people who achieved great things, who laid the foundation of this great country, this once great country, a foundation that we should return to. It bothers me to see these things being torn down because I know what they're really after. Those are simply symbols of what was right with America. But at the same time, I'm telling you that most of these people whose statues are removing, like Robert E. Lee, for example, would absolutely be horrified to see people putting up statues of him, revering him as if he was some kind of a saint. He would absolutely be horrified by that. Anybody that is a Christian would. For these beliefs and principles to give definition to a nation, scholars argue they need the power that a religion holds for its believers. Characterizing them as a faith system elevates them beyond a mere personal philosophy. So they're kind of advocating a civil religion. And I say, accept no substitutes. Get the real thing. Because any other foundation is a foundation of sand. Just as I pointed out to some of the people who criticized me for talking about subjects like this, I said, if you don't have a backbone, if you don't have something solid to stand on, you're useless in this fight. And where are you going to get those things from? So the whole idea, and one of the reasons why we have CRT being taught in schools, why we have the 1619 Project being taught in schools, is because we decided that we would turn them into seminaries. We were going to have them teach people good stuff, we thought, right? We're going to have them teach good values. And instead, when you create these organizations, and you see this happening in actual seminaries all the time by denominations, yeah, we will have people go to these seminaries, and then we will train them to go out and teach other people. Well, guess what? If you want to subvert a big group of people, you go there. If you want to subvert the next generation, you go to the universities where they're teaching the teachers and you subvert those teachers. And that's what's happened to our schools. And quite frankly, if you understand the history, I know we don't have a lot of history teachers left anymore, but if you understand the history of public education in the United States, the very people who founded it, people like Thomas Dewey and Horace Mann, wanted the system that we have today. We'll be right back. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. Biden dropped on everybody yesterday afternoon. Nothing really that was a surprise. We knew this was coming. I knew it was coming a very long time ago. But it is the next stage of what they want to impose on people. As a matter of fact, he is now, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, he's announced yesterday that he will be mandating for all federal workers that they be vaccinated, except for postal workers. Not postal workers. Why is that, do you think? Why would postal workers be exempt?
You remember this. When you control the mail, you control information.
Yeah, they control information. Not only that, they control elections too, don't they? Thanks to Donald Trump and his lockdown, they control information, they control elections. And also they have a union that is negotiating with the government right now. As Zero Hedge says, so what do postal workers know about science that Biden doesn't? Well, it's the science of mass resistance in the name of the union right now. The union, which represents over 220,000 postal workers, put out a statement saying, while we will encourage postal workers to get vaccinated, it is not the role of the federal government to mandate vaccinations for the employees that we represent. Which, when all this stuff started with the NFL, remember, we had some of the players who spoke out against it. One of them was furious. He said, where is the Players Association in all this stuff? Now, these people are hammering us with this. We'll talk about this in a moment. And, of course, Biden gave a shout-out to the NFL. He loves what the NFL is doing, the way that they are punishing, extraordinary punishments that they've come up with, all kinds of asymmetric rules for the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. He absolutely loves that. He wants everybody to do that. He wants other sporting events to do that. He wants corporations to do that. It's perfect. It's exactly what he wants. Take the knee and then make sure that, you know, if somebody tests positive, if they're vaccinated, they only have to stay out for a day if they get a negative test. But if you are unvaccinated, you got to stay out for 10 days, even with a negative test. If they have enough people that are out, they, you know, up to a certain level, they will have to forfeit the game. There'll be financial penalties for all this stuff. The vaccinated will have to, the unvaccinated will have to wear masks. They won't be able to get out of their room if they're on a away game, all of this stuff. Biden loves that. And so one of the NFL players is saying, where's our union in all this stuff? Why aren't they defending us? Well, the Postal Workers Union is defending them. They went on to say, issues related to vaccinations and testing for COVID-19 in the workplace must be negotiated with the APWU. At this time, the APWU opposes the mandating of COVID-19 vaccinations in relation to U.S. postal workers. In other words, you know, when they come back in, they want to see some of the money here. You know, you got some money in there for me? Show me that money, all right? So Biden dropped the hammer on what he's going to do to people. Let's first talk about the briberies. Let's talk about the carrots that he's putting out there for people.
We're still hearing that people are unable to get time off from their employer to get vaccinated. Well, this is unacceptable. For some time now, I've said you should be able to get the shot and still get paid. Thanks to the American Rescue Plan, the federal government is fully reimbursing any small or medium-sized business that provides workers with paid time off to get vaccinated. Employers, this costs you nothing. If you haven't given employees paid time off, do it now, please. Today, I'm announcing that we're taking this a step further. The federal government will now reimburse those employers to give their staffs who give their staffs time off, not only to get themselves vaccinated, but also to get their family members vaccinated. That means employers can get reimbursed if they give parents time off with paid time, paid leave, to take their kids or their own parents to get vaccinated. So I'm calling on all employees across the country to give paid time off to get the shot or to help a family member do so. I promise you, it will cost you, the employer, nothing. You'll be reimbursed. Secondly, I'm announcing that we'll continue the work with, to work with states to encourage unvaccinated people to get vaccinated. In February, the grocery store chain Kroger's offered $100 to their associates if they get vaccinated. And it worked. Vaccination rates moved up from 50% to 75% among their employees. States like New Mexico, Ohio, and Colorado are offering similar incentive programs that have helped increase vaccination rates. So today, I'm calling on all states and local governments to use funding they have received, including from the American Rescue Plan, to give $100 to anyone who gets fully vaccinated. I know the pain people who get vaccinated might sound unfair to folks who've gotten vaccinated already. But here's the deal. If incentives help us beat this virus, I believe we should use them. We all benefit if we can get more people vaccinated.
Yeah, so he's showing them the money. He's got lots of it. That's how the federal government gets people to do it. That's why I say 503 days when Trump declared national state of emergency, he was showing the money to the governors, to the hospitals, to all these apparatchiks who are going to enforce that. And so, yeah, he knows that his own base is not going to be happy with him because his own base believed all that stuff and went out and got the Trump shots without even being paid. Many of them got it without even being able to participate in a lottery I mean, what kind of a ripoff is that, right? And so now he's saying, hey, you know, I'll pay you for this stuff. Well, it's still peanuts. Because I thought, let's see how much I've never participated in a drug trial before. I will never knowingly participate in a drug trial. But I started digging around to see people who had participated in a paid clinical trial. And here's an article from November 2020. How to participate in a paid clinical trial in 2021. You know, here's how you can make some quick bucks. And this was written by somebody who had experience in that. And this person says, you know, you can get some pretty high pay in this, especially if you get in a phase three trial, which is what we have right now. This is a phase three trial that's being run out. Phase three is after it clears the initial hurdles. And I played that for you earlier this week so you could hear it from the mouth of an expert. In terms of a vaccine, you know, you never would expose somebody. You wouldn't have a control group that you exposed to a disease, and then the group that got the vaccine that you're hoping is going to protect them from the disease. You would never expose them to the disease. That's always been considered to be unethical. And so what they would do is they would have a control group that got a placebo, another group that got the vaccine, and then they would watch them for 3 years as they just mill about. They're going to be randomly exposed to the disease. And that would determine what the efficacy was. Well, they only ran that study for 2 or 3 months. And then again, the safety side of it, they wanted to run it out for a long period of time so that side effects would show up. And so that's why they would run it out for 2 or 3 years. Again, many people in the field said that's not long enough. So what they do, they shortened it up to 2 or 3 months. But if you're going to participate in those trials, and so you have, you know, just the phase one trial where there was a very small group of people. They have no idea if this stuff is really going to be bad. They've done a little bit of testing on animals, so they hope that it's not going to just kill you outright. But they don't really know. So I have a small group of people. Most of them are pretty desperate individuals, like prisoners or something, that sign up for this. And then if it passes that, then they go to the phase two. And so they'll run it out a while, and they'll look to see if it's a therapeutic, if it actually cures. They'll get people who have that condition or disease. Does it make it better? Does it cure it? And is it safe? And most drugs stop at that point in time. They don't make it to phase three. If it's phase three, it runs out for a long period of time. And again, it has to be a long-term epidemiological study for vaccines. And you don't get results for a long-term study by adding more people in a shorter period of time. Only somebody as stupid as Trump and his MAGA cult would believe something like that. Yeah, we'll just run this for 3 months, but we'll triple the number of people. There, it'll be like 3 years, just like that. No, a long-term study is a long-term study. All you're doing is adding guinea pigs. So, if you are going to participate in one of these things, you can expect, as he points out, high pay. He said clinical trials pay between $50 to $300 per day per visit. You can get compensation dependent on the length of time required, as well as procedures performed. As a matter of fact, when we had the retail stores, video stores, video rental stores, we had an employee who did that as well. And she made really big bucks. She made a couple thousand dollars. And we tried to lecture her and say, don't do this. Yeah, you don't realize. I mean, yeah, you're looking at $2,000. You don't have any idea what the long-term effects are going to be. You're the one depending on doing this. And I mean, this is what I'm doing to the entire country now, the same talk that I gave to her 30, 40 years ago. It's like, oh, man, I can't believe you're doing this. But she was getting paid. You're not getting paid. $100? Is that good? Is that good, Joe? You know, you didn't pay the people who voted for you that believe you. I should play that Mexican thing again. Those people who supported you, you didn't give them anything. And now you're going to give some people $100. Oh, big deal, right? Big money there. Compensation dependent upon the length of time required as well as the procedures performed. Well, you know, if this is the kind of vaccine that nobody has ever seen before, if it's going to genetically alter your body, maybe the pay ought to be a little bit higher than that, because this is very experimental. Aside from the money, they said there's some other benefits to participating in a clinical trial. For example, clinical trials require that the subject undergo a physical examination very often. and you get a free exam for free. So you get to go to the doctor, and they give you a health checkup, and you, all that is for free. They're constantly monitoring your condition. Is that being done now? No. No, as a matter of fact, if you self-report that you got a problem, they sweep it under the carpet in this clinical trial called Warp Speed. It's been a while since your last physical checkup. This might be a good way for you to find out about your health. Except if you participate in this thing and you have your health ruined, they don't want to know about it. If it kills you, they don't want to know about it. And they don't want anybody else to know about it either. Drug trials often require more extensive examinations. You might be required to undergo an EEG, an EKG, an MRI, or complete blood analysis. But not with the Trump shot Operation Warp Speed trials, no. He said, back when I was struggling as a graduate student at the National Institute of Health, I sought out and participated in a number of clinical trials. It's worth mentioning that NIH clinical trials are offered all over the United States and worldwide, not just at the Bethesda, Maryland campus. And so, you know, you could take advantage of this business opportunity everywhere. And, you know, if you get in a real clinical trial, they're not going to pay you just $100. They're going to give you some real cash there, some folding stuff. I underwent a series of MRI scans as a control, or so they told me, and a gambling study. He really was. They're letting him gamble. So the trial was actually quite fun because I got to gamble while I was lying inside the scanner. And now you can gamble with your life, and you can gamble to win money if you participate in the Operation Warp Speed. As a matter of fact, up to now, that was the only way that you could get paid, is by gambling, and by gambling with your life and your health. He said, I made roughly $100 for every hour I spent inside the MRI machine. Now, Biden is going to give you $100, period. No checkups, no observations, and don't tell us what happens to you. We don't want to know. By the time my gambling study was done, I'd accumulated about $1,550, $50 of that being my winnings from gambling. And the other $1,500 was what they actually paid him. But, you know, now you can participate in the Vax-a-Million plans that Republicans like DeWine put in, and Democrats followed up with that. Many Republican governors put it in. Not too many people won that, but, you know, your mileage may vary. The only hitch here was that the medication was reactive, he said. Radioactive. So, yeah, there's that. So I got radioactive medication. They injected this stuff into my brain so they could watch me gamble. And, you know, so there's that. But, hey, they gave me $1,500, which is way better than they're doing for people with Operation Warp Speed. As Biden is talking about how he wants to coerce people. Again, he focuses on the NFL. So before we talk about the NFL, I gave you his carrot stuff, right? We're going to have $100. Isn't that nice? And he gets some free child care, or not free child care, but you get some time off. He didn't make it clear whether or not that time off included just the time that takes you to drive down to you know, the filling station or the retail, big box retailer, to get your shot in your arm, or if that includes the time that you're laid up sick. You know, like yesterday, Nolte at Breitbart said, boy, sickest I've ever been that several days there. Does that include that? Do they give you time for that? You know, $100 for being sick as a dog for a weekend? Does that sound like a deal? Oh, I don't know. But let's take a look at the stick. Let's look at the mandates. This was the other part of what he had to say yesterday.
In addition to providing incentives to encourage vaccination, it's time to impose requirements on key groups to make sure they're vaccinated. Excuse me. Just this week, we took an important step to protect our veterans. Like many civilian hospital systems are doing, the Department of Veterans Affairs will now require COVID-19 vaccines for doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers who provide medical care for our veterans. We must do everything possible to protect our veterans from getting COVID when they come to get medical care they so richly earned serving their country. We owe them. Next, since many vaccinations are required for active duty military today, I'm asking the Defense Department to look into how and when they will add COVID-19 to the list of vaccinations our armed forces must get. Our men and women in uniform who protect this country from grave threats should be protected as much as possible from getting COVID-19. I think this is particularly important because our troops serve in places throughout the world. Many where vaccination rates are low and disease is prevalent. Next, every federal government employee will be asked to attest to their vaccination status. Anyone who does not attest or is not vaccinated will be required to mask no matter where they work, test one or two times a week to see if they've acquired COVID, socially distance, and generally will not be allowed to travel for work. Likewise, today, I'm directing my administration to take steps to apply similar standards to all federal contractors. If you want to do business with the federal government, get your workers vaccinated. Look at the Chamber of Commerce, representing tens of thousands of American businesses, the National Association of Manufacturers, the Business Roundtable, which comprises of the largest and biggest corporations in America. They're all applauding the actions that the federal government is taking and urge them to follow suit. I also commend the National Football League, has announced that if there are outbreaks among unvaccinated players and personnel, then the team risks forfeiting games. I urge other sport leagues at every level to take every step they can. Every day, more businesses are implementing their own vaccine mandates. And the Justice Department has made it clear that it is legal to require COVID-19 vaccines. We all want our lives to get back to normal. And fully vaccinated workplaces will make that happen more quickly and more successfully.
All right, so to summarize there, what do you say? He throws out a commendation to the NFL. Love it the way you guys are screwing your employees down to the wall, firing staff, and putting out excessive fines for all these. I want everybody to do it. I want all the sports to do that. I want to do it at every level, even down to amateur. We're going to make you can't move an inch. You can't have any pleasure or any potential career of any sort if you don't get this vaccine. Now, why don't they say that again? I'll say that again. Why isn't it possible for them to hand out the very, very cheap ivermectin and HCQ and zinc to people? Why are they withholding that from people? Why are they not saying, well, we're going to make all of the people in the military because we care so much about their health? You know, these people protect us in the military, and so we want to protect them. And so we're going to give them hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. No, can't have that. No, we're going to give you a vaccine, only the vaccine. That's the only thing we're going to let you do. Of course, you could also protect the people in the military by not holding their lives so cheaply that you get them involved in useless wars to kill people that have not had any, that have not attacked our country, and wars that have not been discussed and voted upon. But of course, that's not anything that Republicans or Democrats are going to do. No. We'll just praise them as we use them as cannon fodder and hamburger meat for killing other people. But he says, NFL quarterback, as Biden is talking about how wonderful this is, NFL quarterback says he was pressured to get vaccinated by the league. He said, if you don't fall in line, they'll make your life miserable. Yeah, we talked about all different ways. This is Tennessee Titan quarterback Ryan Tannehill. He said, I'm currently in the process right now of being vaccinated at a Wednesday press conference. He said, the NFL has kind of made it clear what they want to happen. It sure did, abundantly clear. If you don't fall in line, they're going to make your life miserable with all the protocols. I wouldn't have gotten the vaccine without the protocols that they're enforcing on us. I think it's a personal decision for everyone. Everyone has to make the best decision for them and for their families. That's kind of our mindset in this building. He's talking about everybody really believes that. But they're being pressured from the top down by Roger Goodell and all these other people who are tied at the hip to this globalist agenda, pushing the anti-American kneeling and all the rest of this stuff, and now pushing this globalist agenda to vaccinate without any regard, without any exception. Everybody must be vaccinated. No treatments allowed. As a matter of fact, anybody talks about treatments will be punished. Anybody that talks about treatments will be canceled, fired. and we're not going to provide any treatment to you. We're only going to give you vaccines, which are not a treatment, and they're not even preventing the vaccine. It's actually the hot spots are where the people are most heavily vaccinated. But he said the mindset in this building is it ought to be your decision and your family's decision. But they're trying to force your hand. Ultimately, they have forced a lot of hands by the protocol. They have forced his hands, as a matter of fact. Unvaccinated players in the NFL have travel restrictions, are required to wear masks, they have to forfeit games, they have to forfeit their paychecks if there's outbreaks among other unvaccinated players. So you might as well just get out. And they've already fired some staff members who refused to get vaccinated. And so Market Watch says, can you be fired for refusing to get a COVID-19 vaccine? America's about to find out. You know what you're about to find out? You're about to find out if you're an employee or a slave. You're about to find out if you have any freedom or dignity, or if you're just cattle. That's what you're about to find out. You're going to find that out by examining yourself. Self-examination. Yeah, informed consent, but also knowing who you are, knowing yourself, knowing your values. See, when you have a third of the country, 100 million people or more, who do not want to get the vaccine, that covers a lot of people. It covers a lot of skills and disciplines. There's a wide diversity of people there. Think about the fact that there was only 2 or 3 million, I forget the exact amount, but it was somewhere around that area. In all 13 colonies, when America got its independence, somehow they managed to live. You don't have to have, and when we look at 100 or so million people who are out there, these are the people who are the most intelligent. These are the people who are skeptical, who verify stuff. They don't just blindly trust what authorities are telling them. These are people who are productive. And so this is really the best of America that has not jumped into this. These are people who have self-respect. These are people who actually do follow science, the scientific method. We don't have to bow to this other two-thirds that are trying to dictate to us how to live our lives. You talk about creating a parallel society. A society of 100 million people is bigger than most nations right now. We just need to find a way that we can self-organize, and we start doing that locally. So can you be fired for refusing to get a COVID-19? Absolutely. Can you be fired from a job that's worth having? No. 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 If they're going to treat you that way, you don't want that job. Christopher Neve had a spotless record, several pay raises in his 6 years as deputy sheriff at the Durham County Sheriff's Office in North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina. In March, he was put on leave without pay for insubordination and then terminated, court and personnel records show. This happened because Neve, 33, refused to get vaccinated, according to his North Carolina federal lawsuit. The sheriff's office told him that he would take the vaccine against his will or he would lose his job. Months earlier, Durham County's sheriff, Clarence Burkhead, by the way, this is an elected office. If the people in Durham want to have somebody like this running the sheriff's department, well, you get what you deserve. The lawsuit said that he had put this months earlier. He said, quote, getting vaccinated now will help to protect you and the public that we serve. Is that true now? Can we say that that's not true now, based on what CDC and Biden has said? The vaccine is not protecting themselves. It's not protecting the community. It's not stopping the spread. It's not keeping people from getting sick or from dying. It's not doing anything. No, it's making giving them power. It's making the pharmaceutical companies that they want to enrich, it's making them richer, but it's not doing any of those things. It's not helping to protect that person. It's not protecting the public. The cases like I read you yesterday, a guy who said, yeah, my wife's got some issues, so I got it. She got double vaccinated. I got double vaccinated. The kids didn't get double vaccinated, but we all got sick. You know, I got sick. She got sick. The kids who were not vaccinated got sick. But my wife and I double vaccinated got sick. My mother or mother-in-law came. I forget which it was. She got sick as well. And she was double vaccinated as well. Anyway, I am requiring all employees to be vaccinated. It is mandatory, said the memo from the Durham County Sheriff, Burkhead. Neve stood by his informed medical decision to not take an experimental product, and a result was illegally fired. And again, it doesn't matter, as Biden is saying. He said, you know, well, the Department of Justice came out and said, it's legal. We can do that. They don't make the law. That's their opinion, first of all. And the Department of Justice has opinions that are at odds with judges all up and down the line, as well as the Supreme Court many, many times, right? Look at the Trump administration. Every time the Department of Justice and the Trump administration would say something, the judicial branch would say, nope, can't do it. They'd say that to Trump himself, even about things that were legitimately within his power. So to say that your political hacks that you have appointed to the Department of Justice have said that you can dictate this to people and that employers can dictate this to people because that's what you want, that is absolutely meaningless. This pronouncement by the Department of Justice is useless, meaningless. It needs to be resisted. It needs to be disobeyed because we know what the law is. And these people don't follow it. Just like Obama's Department of Justice. They decided, in the DACA, they said, we're going to defer action to enforce immigration law. We're not going to enforce immigration law. A declaration, open declaration, we're not going to enforce the law. First of all, that's not legal, just as the judge just pointed out. But then they went to the extreme that they said to the Department of Justice under President Trump, they said, you can't get rid of the executive order from the previous administration. It's all a bunch of nonsense. It's all politics. It doesn't even have anything really to do with the law in most of these cases. These are just political appointees, whether you're talking about the Department of Justice or you're talking about these judges. They're political appointees. And all this stuff is Forrest Gump level. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? The Supreme Court is like a box of chocolates. All these people in black robes, you never know what you're going to get. So, to take a look at this, we had on CNBC's Squawk Box, you had a billionaire talking about how those little people are going to have to get their vaccines. Just makes me want to throw up. This elitism. This guy, Ken Langone, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, I don't know. He's one of the co-founders of Home Depot. I guess we should call it Home Despot now. Just add an S for this S-hole. It's there. A billionaire, Ken Langone, told CNBC on Wednesday that all of his businesses will mandate employees be vaccinated against COVID once the shots receive full approval from the FDA. See, even he, even an arrogant billionaire who treats his employees like slaves and cattle, even he won't try to press the case until we dot the I's and cross the T's, as Fauci said. Oh, yeah, it's basically, it's done. Yeah, I mean, we told these guys over at the PFDA to approve the Pfizer. And, they did it. We told them we'd fire them if they didn't. Now we're going to tell you we're going to fire you if you don't take what we told them to approve or get fired, right? It's rolling downhill. Just dictates. Just tyranny. No medical science, no respect for individuals, no respect for the law or the Constitution in any of this. And so he says, you get the FDA to say that it's final, says this billionaire, and it's approved. And I can guarantee you all the places that I'm involved in, if you don't get vaccinated, you will get fired. You have an obligation to your fellow man to protect him as well as yourself. Do you? Really? Do you have an obligation? Well, and how do you do that? So I have an obligation to protect my fellow man, to tell them how dangerous these vaccines are. I have an obligation to tell them how dangerous this political precedent would be, even if these vaccines were 100% effective, even if they were 100% safe, and they are some of the most dangerous, ineffective vaccines that we have ever seen. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's not anywhere close to being effective and safe. But let's assume that it was perfect. In a perfect world where this was 100% safe and 100% effective, if the government dictated this to you, if an employer dictated this to you, I'm telling you, in order to protect you, as well as to protect me, because I don't want to live in a society where things like that are dictated to people, I'm going to tell you to refuse it. If they told you, here, you must take a vitamin C tablet every day because we've determined that it's good for you, I would say no. I would refuse that. You're not going to tell me any of this stuff. And to protect you, to protect your health, to protect your freedom, you must refuse this. Anyway, Home Depot came out and said, he's not on the board, and he's not a spokesman for us. Home Depot said he does not speak on our behalf. So watch what they're doing. And I'm just saying that, you know, we have, there's 100 million people, the most productive people in our country, a lot of small businesses. And if we have clout, we are not powerless. And we need to orchestrate boycotts of people. If Home Depot does this, if Lowe's does this, I mean, they've already put out of business most of the independent competitors. But if they do this, you better find a way that you can boycott them one way or the other. You know, when we look at the baloney science behind all of this, COVID death rates in almost every U.S. state have flattened to record low levels. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, the people who are constantly promoting all of this nonsense, especially the Trump shots. And you know, you've got Piers Morgan, who's absolutely rabid about this stuff. He's as bad as Joy Behar. And yet, they're pointing out that there isn't any kind of epidemic going on. There's not any kind of pandemic going on here. They say, yeah, the cases have risen, but it's really not anything that we need to worry about. So, you know, why do we have to do this? You know, all of the these people who are talking about this, there is no data to show us that we need to proceed. As a matter of fact, you're not allowed to see the data. As the Houston Chronicle headline says, experts ask to see the data behind the new policy because they can't see the data. And these are experts. I mean, we're talking experts here. They're not showing the experts the data. It's that bad. The CDC did not publish their new research. In the text of the updated masking guidance, the agency merely cited CDC COVID-19 response team unpublished data, 2021. Unpublished data. They're making a claim that people with Delta who are vaccinated and the unvaccinated have similar levels of viral load, but nobody knows what that means, says Greg Gonzalez, an associate professor at the Yale School of Public Health. It is meaningless unless we see the data. And again, as I pointed out earlier in the program, you know, I've seen this for decades from the climate change people, and it's the same tactics. We're all going to die unless we do X. Okay, tell me why we're going to die. Let me see the data. You can't see the data. Just do X because I say so. And you're going to die. We're all going to die. We're experts. I've got degrees. I work here. I have a high-paying government job. And don't ask me what financial interests I have in this or what career interests I have in this. Just do what I say. And so now we're back to that. Because, as I pointed out many times, everything that they want us to do, everything that they're demanding that we do, everything that aligns with the Great Reset, with the UN 2030 agenda, which was the time-specific part of Agenda 21, all the smart city stuff, everything, all of this stuff is exactly the same as all the climate prescriptions. All they did was they took out the justification, the panic justification, the sky is falling justification. They pull that out and they stick a different one in. And everything that they're doing is not just the what they're telling us to do, but it's the way that they're doing it, hiding the information from us and playing with their authority. CDC Director Walensky lies and contradicts the CDC's own data, says the New American. They quote Tucker Carlson saying, well, she's an actual doctor. She went to Harvard, but she's never been elected anything. But her word is law. It is more powerful than anything Congress produces. She's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. She is her own federal agency. In fact, on a continuum, she sits somewhere between king and God. So read carefully as Rochelle Walensky tells you that COVID is killing twice as many children as influenza. I think it's really important for people to understand this is not a benign disease compared to other diseases our kids see, said Walensky. Remember, it was just a couple of months ago, she said, oh, this is so dark. I can hardly, the manufactured tears. I have this sense of impending doom, and on and on. If you look at the mortality rate of COVID just this past year for children, it's more than twice the mortality rate that we see in influenza in a given year. Well, the problem is that she's profoundly ignorant of her own CDC data. As we've told you for a year, you have essentially zero risk of dying from COVID, according to the CDC's own data, if you are under 55 and have no other comorbidities, no other conditions that are going to kill you. The truth is, from 2019 to 2020, according to the CDC, a total of 124 children died of COVID. From 2020 to 2021, 213 children died of COVID. By comparison, influenza killed more than 400 children just last year, Carlson related. In fact, that was not an aberration. Influenza has killed far more children than COVID has in each of the past 5 years. It's not even close. But again, we're going to expose kids to this. As I read the article, I think the person was from Johns Hopkins that was blowing the whistle on it and saying, we went back and looked at tens of thousands of COVID cases for children. And we didn't find in the 300 or so cases that they said, and again, you know, 124 in one calendar year and 213, so it's a little over 300. In those 300 cases, we didn't find a single death that could not easily and probably be attributed to some other comorbidity. There were no healthy kids who died at all from this, with that being the sole thing present. And they stressed it. They said there is zero risk. And now Walensky is saying it's more than twice the mortality rate of influenza in a given year. In a recent report, the CDC itself acknowledged that it could be vastly overstating the number of children dying from COVID, said Carlson. Well, that is absolutely the truth. They're lying to your face, as Kerry Mullis said about Fauci, in terms of talking about how he's misusing the PCR. And now that they admit the PCR is not working, hasn't worked for a year and a half. They didn't even have it at the beginning, and now they're going to get rid of it in 5 months. But hey, that's what they're basing their epidemic, their so-called epidemic, is an epidemic of cases. Not even people who are symptomatic with anything, but it's cases, and they're locking down the world again. I knew this was happening. I said they were going to turn it on and off like a switch. I remember when I was at InfoWars, I was challenged by a fellow reporter on that. I said, well, where did you get that? I said, well, don't you understand that's what they're doing? So that's not an exact quote. It's what they're going to do. You don't see that's what they're going to do? That was a year ago. As plain as a nose on your face, you can't figure that out? Dr. Gottlieb explains why U.S. COVID hotspots may have reached the point where the Delta surge has reversed. And again, this is Scott Gottlieb, who's gone to work now. He's on the board for Pfizer. He was Trump's PFDA manager before he got on the board of Pfizer. And he is now wanting everybody to believe that his product is your ticket to health. And so he's pushing back on this Delta variant. Again, like I said yesterday, you've got a group of people like him, like Mark Siegel at Fox News, these vaccine salesmen, and they want people to see that there's an advantage to their product. But then you have the Democrats who just can't stop beating people with a stick. They just love that. Alex Berenson writes, natural immunity for the win. Data from Israel shows that you are 7 times as likely to be infected after being vaccinated than if you have already recovered. In other words, a big win for natural immunity. And this likely vastly understates the advantage of natural immunity. Because vaccine immunity to infection fades so quickly, this is no longer even a controversial statement. And because it is likely some of the vaccinated had natural immunity from previous infection and did not know it, so the vaccine denominator is much lower than it seems. What he's saying here is that we've had a lot of people who, because they would do anything they're told, even though they had had COVID and they'd recovered from it, which meant that they had natural immunity, they would take the vaccine again. As a matter of fact, they hate people, as I reported earlier. The congressman who said, I had it, I recovered, and these Democrats are all over him, calling him selfish, won't get in the elevator with him, hurling insults at him. He said, I've had it, I recovered, I'm fine. They would have it multiple times. And then if they don't get sick around other people, they'll give the credit to the vaccine. I think what you're seeing is that people are getting sick with a vaccine. It's not keeping them from catching it, even if they're exposed to it. That a lot of the people that are vaccinated that are not getting sick is because they'd already had natural immunity before they got the vaccine. This is new, writes Robbie Starbuck. NBC News is reporting that the new data suggests that vaccinated people have higher levels of virus in them and can infect other people. That would mean the new surge may be caused by them, despite all the fear-mongering, and I pointed that out yesterday. Again, we've heard over and over again, oh, it's going to keep you from getting it. It'll save your life. Well, no, it won't keep you from getting it, but it'll still save your life. But you should get it because it's going to keep you from passing the thing around, whatever the thing is. Now, they don't say that either. They say, well, all right, you can still get sick. You can still get very sick. You can still get in the hospital. They won't admit that you'll die, but we have a lot of people who have been vaccinated who have died after getting infected. We have a lot of people who have died from the vaccine, but they don't admit any of that. The French intelligence service, however, is now calling the people who are protesting these mandates, these mask mandates, these vaccine passports, they're now calling them terrorists, right? Well, we're being called terrorists, too. If you disagree with the election, if you question the election, you're a terrorist. You may be a domestic terrorist if you do that. You may also be a domestic terrorist if you question the narratives about vaccines. You're pushing misinformation. You're pushing disinformation. You are killing people. You're not just killing grandma. Now you're killing our grandkids, as we heard from Kathleen Sebelius and from Geraldo Rivero. The government's COVID rules might turn to extremism if people oppose it, they said. These people may become extremists. A new law christening the health pass and the QR code tracking system in the daily lives of French citizens has cleared hurdles in the Senate, with the only constitutional council standing between freedom and a new world, a new normal, in which the French citizens are required to present proof of an anti-COVID double jab or a nose swab test within the previous 48 hours and on and on. But this is being done everywhere. This is Boris Johnson, who calls himself a conservative, right? You'll have no pleasures in life, none of the opportunities of life if you're not vaccinated. They're all saying this. And this is not something we would have avoided if Trump had been in office. Again, he was pushing everything that was a part of this great reset, this globalist agenda. He was the one, all these people who were being locked down in the UK, locked down in France, he was the one who paid for these vaccines. Paid for them. AstraZeneca was predominantly developed in the UK, but he bought hundreds of millions of them, gave them money. You know, when you have a request for a proposal, or you have a military industrial complex contract for a new jet program or something like that, the government doesn't pay for the research like they did for the Operation Warp Speed, right? They don't pay the companies to do a research and a design. They do the design, and then they compete, and then they get a government contract. And then based on that government contract, that's bankable money they can use to hire the people they need to hire and the materials that they need to do and the facilities that they need to do, and they start making it. It's a big deal to give the contract out there to Pfizer, to give the contract to AstraZeneca, depending, regardless of whether you gave them the money to actually do the research. But they gave the money to do the research to the other two, and they also built factories for them and everything, in addition to buying their product. I mean, this is far more than the skullduggery and the backroom deals and the corruption that you see with the military-industrial complex all the time. And it was Trump who did that. And he did it for every one of these vaccines. He gave some companies more than others within that group of four. But for the most part, all the vaccines that the world is using right now, outside of the one, the Sinovac and the Sputnik Vac out of Russia, all the rest of these were done by Donald Trump. You know, he's the godfather of the worldwide vaccination program, more so than Bill Gates. I know everybody likes to talk about Bill Gates, but it was Trump who made it financially possible, using the Federal Reserve and its unlimited ability to print out fiat money. He rolled the vaccines out to everybody, these vaccines that all these tyrants are using to destroy people's lives, to destroy our society, the rule of law. That was all financed by Trump. Nor is a health pass going to stop transmission in a crowded public transport, open workspace areas, or private residences where much of the transmission tends to occur. None of this stuff, even if you believed their panicked narrative, none of this is going to make any difference. For example, in Sydney, where we've talked about this many times for the last week, you know, last week we had Gerald Celente on. He's talking about, you know, nobody's died in Australia. They reported even their stuff. I think they attributed one or two deaths to this or something, and they've got a couple of dozen cases. You know, now they've had 239 people that are under investigation. They don't know if it doesn't say these people are dead, doesn't say that they're sick. These are cases. Again, the PCR test. This is with a population of millions of people. And so now in Sydney, because nobody believes this, and it isn't credible, people are pushing back. And so in Australia, that's where we've seen the tyranny the hardest, doubling down on people. And so now they're doubling down again. They're doubling down on the fines. They're going from $200 to $500 because people are refusing to wear a mask. This kind of tyranny, they are pushing people to the extent, and the thing that surprised me, as Scott Atlas said, the thing that surprised him was how quickly they moved and how passive the population was. And that really surprised me as well. I really thought that when they started boiling the frogs that quickly that people would push back. But everybody's been on a slow boil for the last 503 days, and now they're turning up the heat even more. Now the frogs are starting to jump out of the pot, and they're having enough of this. They're sick and tired of this. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Stay with us. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and we have, it's not just the fines doubling in Sydney. They're getting ready to send in the army. I've been saying for the longest time, this is really indistinguishable from martial law. And we knew for the longest time, too. This is why it really stuck in my craw for the last year at InfoWars. We knew that this was going to roll out through FEMA. Everybody always talking about FEMA camps, it'll be an emergency, they'll put people in indefinite detention, right? And that's exactly what they're going to do. They're already putting people in camps. They're rolling out the military against people in Australia where they're not dying. This is absolutely uncalled for. There's no justification for it whatsoever. But this is exactly what we always said was going to happen. And it's also going to be done, you know how the indefinite detention without trial being done by the military, you know what that's going to look like here in the United States? It's going to look like the tests. And the mainstream media, even alternative media, is being pretty quiet about the fact that the CDC admitted that these PCR tests are not going to work. As I pointed out, it was very important to notice that at the same time they made that announcement, you had George Soros and Bill Gates invest in a new testing procedure that was going to be very quick. It wasn't going to take a day to get a result. It was going to be able to get it a very, very short test to get a result. Whether or not that test works, I guarantee you, that's going to be the test that everybody turns to. And whether or not that test works, whether or not you are sick, they can use that to put you in a FEMA camp. That was what Rabbi Dovid Smith was very focused on. He said, it's the test that's going to be the mechanism for how they take us out of society. It's going to be the test. So you roll the military in, you start mandating these tests, these rapid tests, and you start taking people off to the camps. That's the next step. Yeah, they're done with the nice stuff. From here on out, it's going to be hardball that they're going to start playing with people. Let's take a quick look at what is happening in some of the cultural issues here. We have California Appeals Court said that mandatory transgender pronouns, yeah, it is a program, but the pronouns, to make that mandatory, that violates the First Amendment. CBN News said fines for repeat offenders, when they put this in, we're going to be, and I reported this as well, this happened maybe about a month ago, they pushed the bill through, there would be as high as $1,000 and a jail term for up to a year if you did not use the appropriate pronouns in, for example, a health facility where you are helping people who have elderly people with gender identity issues. I don't know how many people of our generation, I consider myself now, I guess, to be elderly. I don't know how many people of our generation are involved in that. You know, it wasn't really a thing back then. But anyway, the court said, the pronoun provision is a content-based restriction on speech. Yep, it is. The law compels long-term care facility staff to alter the message that they would prefer to convey, either by hosting a message as required by the resident or by refraining from using pronouns at all. And that's what you see by a lot of the press is trying to navigate this, talking about Bruce Jenner. They don't want to call him her. They don't want to call him Gaitlin, so they just continue to refer to him as Jenner. Jenner. I refer to him as Jenner. They will. They don't want to take a stand. Even if they're criticizing him, they don't want to take a stand because this is now the United Soviet States of America. Well, you do what the people in political power tell you to do for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. You know, it isn't even about any of this stuff. It's about the raw exercise of their power. It's about saying that 2 + 2 = 5. It's about the doublethink that you must embrace. We recognize the state has a compelling interest in eliminating discrimination against residents. However, we conclude that the pronoun provision is not narrowly tailored to achieve a compelling government objective because it burdens speech more than is required to achieve the state's compelling objective. Well, I know what the state's compelling objective is, quite frankly. You know, I think the state's compelling objective is defined by the second half of the beginning of the preamble paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. You know, don't stop reading there where it says, you know, we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't stop there. That's only the beginning of it. What it's saying is, because you possess these rights, because you're a human being, therefore we create government to protect those rights. And if a government doesn't protect those rights, or if the government in fact becomes hostile to those rights, it is our right and our duty to alter or to abolish that government. And that's where we are right now. It is our right and our duty to alter or to abolish this current government that we have here, because it does not protect our God-given liberties, it attacks them. And I don't care what their compelling objective is. Their compelling objective is to defend our liberties. That's the purpose of government under the American system. And that is the true authority. People who do not see the protection of liberty as the compelling objective of the government, they are not... they do not have authority. They may have power, but they do not have authority. Supporters of the law say that they plan to appeal. According to the Washington Blade, a homosexual publication, the court's decision is disconnected from the reality facing transgender people. Are you serious? What reality do the transgender people actually face? They're living in La La Land. I mean, you know, they don't. If they want to get in touch with their reality, they need to pay attention to their genitals. I mean, that's where the term gender comes from. Gender is not something that is imaginary. Gender is not something that's in your mind. It's between your legs. It's biological, objective, binary. As the LA Times puts it, though, when you have a guy as part of this dispute that was happening at the spa, LifeSite News says, look at the way they reported this. They said a male-appearing genitalia is what the guy had when he flashed people at this spa. He had male-appearing genitalia. They can't even admit what is biological, objective, and binary. Bob. The answer to LGBT is Bob. This is a key tactic of progressive activists, they said. In the face of an obviously disgusting incident, a man exposing himself to small girls in a private area, they double down, they counter-accuse those who object to the behavior. In short, they gaslight women into thinking that they are the aggressors in the situation. As I point out, you know, in case you don't know what gaslighting means, it's the Alfred Hitchcock movie where you try to make somebody believe that they're not sane when in actuality they are. It's just it's a trick. Recent anti-Christian news editorial examples expose the corruption of Canadian media. For example, they've moved so far left that anti-Christian bias is simply taken for granted, and this is why you're seeing the kinds of things that are being done to churches. There's 40-some-odd churches that have been burned down. There are churches and pastors, churches that the buildings have been arrested, the pastors have been arrested. The trials are still ongoing for Arthur Pawlowski and others. But all of that is the product of a long campaign of hate that was created by the LGBT, as I pointed out yesterday. They're now embracing this and saying, we need to embrace gaytheism, the eradication of all religion is the only way that we're ever going to stop homophobia. So they've laid the gauntlet down, and we've known this for the longest time, that they are everything that they're doing is antithetical to all religious values, and so they are proud of their sin, and they desire to destroy all religion and to make people not tolerate them but to celebrate them, bow down, and worship. A headline in the National Post said, which, as they point out, this is LifeSite News, they said, yeah, this was originally founded by a Catholic newspaper guy, Conrad Black, but it said, odious speech is the price that we pay for our freedom. The court ruled, in the paper, it says, the court ruled that the city of New Westminster had violated the free expression of a church by canceling a contract with Grace Chapel for a youth conference because a facilitator was anti-LGBTQ advocate. They said the judge disputed what they were doing, closing it, saying that once governments begin to argue that the expression of some ideas are less valuable than others, we find ourselves on dangerous ground. And that's where we find ourselves everywhere in the world right now. Right? I don't like your idea about the election. I don't like your idea about the pandemic or about medication or whatever. And so I'm not going to allow you to say that or to hold those views. It's settled. I have told you what to do. And so in this statement, what the judge said was, in a free and democratic society, the exchange and expression of diverse and often controversial or unpopular ideas may cause discomfort. Now, what the Post did was they took that phrase that said diverse, controversial, and unpopular, and they condensed that into odious. to let you know where they are. But, of course, they're completely objective. People who are reporting the news, they don't have an opinion. They don't have a bias. We're supposed to believe that they're completely objective. No, run as fast as you can from anybody that tells you that they're an objective news source, because they're deceiving you, probably deceiving themselves at the same time. Crowds flock to a pride march and Hungary this last weekend. I didn't get around to talking about this, but it is important to talk about it because, again, the way that it's being portrayed by the media, they will ignore hundreds of thousands of people who show up for anti-lockdown demonstrations, and they'll focus on orders of magnitude less people who show up for pride marches in Hungary. All right? I mean, we're talking about situation. They've had more than 500,000 people show up in London. That's one of the reasons why you had Bojo do some backtracking and say, all right, no, well, on July the 19th, we'll give you a Freedom Day, just one day. we'll let some of the pressure blow off there because it was really building up hard in the UK. And he said, you know, even though I do this, you know, you people are going to die. Well, it's like, how in the world can he say that? Because they have imposed every kind of a lockdown on people for the last year and a half in the name of saving every single life. We can have zero COVID cases and on and on. But he says, all right, we'll ease up, even though I know some of you are going to die because of this. It's like, really? And now, even though he didn't have a spike of anything, they're locking people down. And he said on the very day, he said, yeah, we're going to have vaccine passports, vaccine mandates, and so forth. So, you know, it was a demonstration. They said about 10,000 people, and yet they routinely ignore the demonstrations of hundreds of thousands of people, 500,000, and many people said it was way over 500,000 in London. I mean, you couldn't see a picture anywhere of a street anywhere in London that wasn't packed with people when that happened a couple of weeks ago. So in response to all of this attack that's being done in Hungary, because they dared to expose, listen to this, they dared to expose the LGBTs coming after children. That was it. He said, I'm not saying this applies to anybody over 18. I'm just saying you're not going to have these drag queen story time hours. You're not going to push this in the schools. We're not going to have school authorities pushing gender confusion and gaslighting on kids. We're not going to have any of this stuff done to kids. And so as a result, the EU wants to punish them severely. So what he is doing is he's going to have a referendum. In response to the EU's legal action against Hungary, Orbán said he will now hold a five-question referendum on the issue. Here's the five questions. Do you support the holding of a lesson on sexual orientation in a state education institution without parental consent? I mean, to me, these are all rhetorical questions. I don't know how anybody can say yes. Do you support the promotion of gender reassignment treatments for minors? Do you support the availability of gender reassignment treatments for minors? So the promotion of it, the availability of it. Do you support the unrestricted presentation of media content of a sexual nature to minors regarding their sexual development? Do you support the presentation of gender-sensitive media content to minors? So this is so he's going to ask this question in a moratorium to show the EU, because, again, these are, I would imagine, I don't know, this probably would not win in California. They probably would support all that kind of stuff. They're so far down the road to Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Hungary and in Poland, I don't think it's going to fly. While one provision of the controversial law focuses on increasing the punishment for convicted pedophiles, why is that controversial? You know, what should be controversial is the fact that we have a 3-year statute of limitations on pedophiles here in America. That tells you that the entire political establishment is trying to cover it up. Anyway, another part of it stipulates the LGBTQ issues cannot be portrayed or promoted to under 18s. Orbán says the law has been misunderstood by those in the EU. No, they are misrepresenting it. He said this is not a law against homosexuality. It's about the rights of kids and parents. And so that's where we are. Will we protect our children, or will we turn them over to these institutions to gaslight them, to do whatever they wish to them, to say that a kid that is 6 years old can make a decision about what gender they are, that they can be transitioned, they can be put on puberty blockers, they can be given drugs, they can be given surgery, things that are going to have serious health consequences for them, because, you know, we care so much about health now, right? To do that by the time they're 8 years old. If that's the kind of society that we want, and it appears to be the kind of society that we want here in America at the moment, then that's why we're getting the types of things that we get from the CDC, from Biden, from the rest of them. It is a judgment against our society by God, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's it for the broadcast. Thank you for listening.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children.
They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.